and gentlemen, it's Monday, July 28th, 2025. This is the InfoWars War Room, the fastest 3 hours on the internet. Starts now. And I would actually say for a Monday, we're a little light on the news desk, but I anticipate we'll be hearing from President Trump before the end of this transmission. He is, I guess, on his new golf course right now, still doing some trade negotiations with the EU. So I wouldn't be surprised if he goes live or if they take questions from the press at some point today. We'll be monitoring that. Of course, President Trump has been making news on this trip and did a bit of a press conference earlier this morning. And so we will be reviewing some of the developments that came from that, the things that President Trump has said, and some of the things he's gotten done as far as trade negotiations are concerned. And I will say that it looked like the markets were anticipating this because the smart people got in on the auto industry and on the energy industry and the tech industry before this morning. So it looked like Trump already had all of this squared away, and I think that's what he'd been teasing for a while with some of these deals. But how was he able to get such a good deal? We'll talk about that. And so this is kind of how Trump negotiates, and it's unfortunate that we basically get our money stolen from us by the entire planet. But then Trump comes in and uses it as leverage. Says, hey, you want to keep taking all of our money? You're going to give us a win on this. So that's basically how it is. I'd like to just cut out the middleman and just let us keep our own money. That's kind of how I would be doing the business. But Trump figures we'll just get better deals on the back end and then take a victory lap that way. So we'll be reviewing all that as well as some other geopolitical news dealing with Russia and Ukraine and the situation in Israel and the Gaza Strip. Now, I got some other political developments we're going to get into. They're basically caught red-handed stealing all of the fire disaster relief money in California. But, you know, the real angle to this, it's not, yes, did they take the money and are a bunch of people going to get away with millions of dollars? Yes. Folks, this happens like 80% of charities. This is exactly what happens. Famously with Bono and U2, it came out with his charities barely giving any to charity. Remember there was some big cause in Africa about 10 years ago. It ended up being a total hoax. But even with like the basic mainstream charities, it's a very small percentage that actually reaches the cause or the front lines, as they say. So they're looking at this situation in the California fires and saying, where did all the money go? Well, we got some updates on that, and it's about as corrupt as it gets, really. So we're going to look at that, as well as some other political developments, legal developments. But I'm sure many people saw this fight. I don't even know what you would call it. I guess it was just some old white guys getting jumped by a gang of black guys. I don't even know. But everybody saw the video. And so you see the video, and then there's one side of the story, and then there's the other side of the story, and then there's the truth. But what you see on the video is pretty clear. And you know, I hate talking about these racial topics, and there were some other racially driven stories in the news this weekend as well. So it's just like, I hate even talking about it, but then it's like, well, what causes this? Why are we here? And so you can kind of look into some of the root causes and say, okay, well, maybe we can do something about it. But what I decided I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of divert from all of that. And in the first segment, at least in the first couple of minutes here, I'm just going to kind of wax about AI and just really get into my philosophy about AI and where it's going. I mean, totally blank state. Let's actually.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? cannabis. I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What has the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue, my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine at the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
Conversation, and mostly I've just been talking about whether whatever is in the news or how I'm kind of shocked that there isn't a larger conversation going on about the implications of AI, where it's going, where it's taking us. Then there was some interesting conversations I heard on this exact category over the weekend. It was even brought up on the Alex Jones show today. And then there were some big headlines about it as well. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to start this week off with this, and I'm just going to really wax poetic, just blank slate, and just talk about the concept of AI, the applications of it, where it's going, and then if we can even reach the conclusion of what it's going to mean for humanity. Because I think if there's anything we can kind of compare it to, contrast it to, and say, okay, this was the technology. This is where it got us. Now here's where we're at. How do we feel about it? Reflecting on that, looking back on that. And I would say the best example to kind of parallel compare it to would be smartphones. And generally speaking, you have a conversation about this. Most people will say smartphones were a negative on culture and society and civilization. And I put out a poll on X, and I believe the final number was like 88%, but it was about 90%. It was about, so 9 out of 10 believe that we were better off without smartphones. Now you just think about that, and I could say, well, what are some of the negatives? Well, if I go to a ball game or a concert or sometimes out in public or even just with friends and family or just myself, we're spending a lot more time glued to our screens. So we're not living in the real world as much. The real world experiences have lost their value, and we're all just kind of sucked into this thing. It's highly addictive, and most are guilty of it, myself included. So yeah, you know, you get a little, is it just nostalgic, or is it a behavior that you also recognize as toxic? Is it a little mix of both? But I think everybody kind of sits, can be honest and reflect and say, yeah, this has overall probably been a blithe on humanity. But at the same time, I've got a knowledge and a wealth of information at my fingertips. I can pretty much get anything I need done on a smartphone while you're traveling, whether that's making a phone call, checking emails, whatever. We all understand the technological advancements that a smartphone allows us. So the good versus the bad, you kind of weigh that. Well, AI, artificial intelligence, and its potential applications is like 100 times that. It's like 100 times. And I think if there's some sort of a merging of the two, it's basically, and I don't know, maybe it's a separate thing, but it's all kind of blending. It's taking this, it's taking the technology in this, and then literally attaching it to yourself. Whether that's, literally attached to your head or if you have some other thing you plug into. But maybe that's a different conversation, talking about human-machine hybrids and biological androids and stuff. So maybe that's the next thing after AI. But it's all kind of going in the same direction. It's all kind of reaching the same singularity. So now you focus on the AI aspect of that. Now, over the weekend, Sam Altman, who is the CEO of OpenAI, that's ChatGPT, that's probably the number one AI software out there. It's the most popular, most used. I'm not going to act like I'm the AI expert. I've never used ChatGPT. I know a lot of people that do. It's probably a skill I should learn. But I guess I do kind of try to resist advanced tech as much as I can. I've always kind of been that way, whether it was smartphones or now AI. There's something I just kind of naturally resist it until eventually I'm just forced in. So Sam Altman comes out, ChatGPT CEO, and says that your entire conversations with their AI algorithm, ChatGPT, your entire conversations are logged. There's virtually no privacy. It could and would be used against you in court. If you're using it as a therapist, like there's AI therapists, there's all these other functions. And you know, kind of as an anecdotal exercise here, I had a friend at my house and they're on their phone doing an AI program, one that you talk with back and forth. And I kind of facetiously, kind of sarcastically, but there was a hint of like, you know, that's a little bit of an invasion of privacy here. But I was like, why are you bringing that technology into my house? I was like, don't bring that into my house. I was like, I don't want that here. Like, you didn't ask me to bring AI. You're in your conversating with AI and, you know, I'm like, I don't want that in my house. So it was kind of sarcastic. Obviously, I have a phone that probably has AI on it anyway, whether I use it or not. And so we kind of had a bit of a laugh, but, you know, obviously it's already in my house. But I'm like, you know what? I don't want that here. I'm like, get that out of my house. But why would I feel that way? Why, even though I'm joking, knowing that probably half of my technology already has something listening to me, logging all of my data anyway, why is that a little different? Well, it's obviously always listening. I think everybody has had some experience now where you're talking to your friends about going paddleboarding, and then you go on to the internet browser and there's your pop-up ad for a new paddleboard. You say, oh, gee, okay. That's the AI listening to you. And unless you're very meticulous about the settings on your phone, but I don't even know if you could turn it all off if you wanted to. Unless you're very meticulous, there's some app that's going to get the permission to listen to you all the time. And many people now just open it up. It's just always on anyway. They've just given it that grace. Now, I don't think we're here yet. And this is why I bring up the technical aspects of quantum computing and nuclear energy, because when it all ties in, you have to understand, you will get to a point. I don't think you're there yet, but you will get to a point where everything you do will be cataloged. You know, they used to have this joke when we were kids, your permanent record. I don't know if that's still a joke that they do with the kids here, but they used to joke around about your permanent record when you're a kid. It's like, you do something bad, it goes on your permanent record. So you thought, you know, you're in fifth grade or whatever, you thought there was this file on you. It's like, oh, you know, you pulled Susie's hair at recess, or, you know, you snuck a cookie bar into class or something. It's on your permanent record. You cheated on a test, permanent record. Well, this will be your permanent record. And obviously where this is going, and so I'm a capitalist. I really am. I'm a free market capitalist. But in order to balance that out, you do have to have ethics, and you do have to have integrity, and you do have to wonder, hey, I can make a product, I can make a bunch of money off of this product or service, but what are the pitfalls? So in order to have a real healthy free market capitalist system, you have to be constantly aware of pitfalls before you just race into something that can ultimately, I mean, in this case, we're talking about potentially terminating the human race as we know it. That's what we're talking about. So you will have a permanent record. And Sam Altman basically says here, there's no laws protecting you here. And once you check that box that you've never read, obviously the terms and agreements on every app that you've ever downloaded, you've never read all of that. You just check the box. You can get access to the app. So he's saying there is no privacy. There are no privacy rights. Anything you have on there is basically in a database somewhere. Now, I don't think they have the computing power yet, but once you reach a critical mass of nuclear energy and quantum computing, then it's just going to be everything you do will be processed into a data center on every second, every millisecond. Now, is that the world that you want to live on? We're partially there. Just a hint of it with the smartphones spying on you, logging all of your activity. And you could say, hey, some of it's good. Maybe you use it for like a fitness app and it monitors your heart rate and other stuff. You say, oh, hey, there's benefits to this technology. But all of that is like a tiny little fraction of what we're about to dive into. And you can see the AI race is already on. And you can see, I put it in simple terms, this is kind of the old guard military industrial complex boomer generation. That's kind of dying out, not to sound morbid, but politically dying out. And the new political frontier is all tech, all AI. This is the new political frontier. So people talk about Palantir and they're certainly right there at the front of the line trying to get ahead of all of this. But you've got OpenAI, you've got Grok, you've got Microsoft, you've got Apple, you've got all of these other different things. There's so much AI out there, folks, you don't even know 90% of it. You've heard of the big guys, and they get the government contracts because they're all building this system now. They're all building this constant data collection system so that everybody has a permanent record. So that's just kind of the cultural, civilizational potentials there. Do we want to go into that? Do you want to have a case of zero privacy ever? You're virtually there, but I mean, they'll just make it all official. So do you like scrolling your cell phone when you're, you know, sitting on the toilet? Cause that's all going to be logged. It's all going to be logged. Every time you are romantic with your partner, go to the bathroom, walk your dog. Every time you have a meal, everything is going to be logged. And once they have the nuclear energy and the quantum computing, it's not even, the data management won't even be an issue. They'll be able to compress data. Your file will be so small, it won't even matter. And when they expand it, it'll have your entire life on it. So is this good? Is this bad? You can obviously see all the different implications, all the different potentials. And there's all kinds of scamming that can go on with this. Of course, who knows? Maybe somebody can hack in and rig your file. Now it says you did something you didn't. I'd say you're 5-10 years away from that really manifesting itself and becoming a reality. And in the same way our lives have changed just in the 15 years since smartphones have come out, imagine that, but it'll happen in 5 years and it'll be 100 times as impactful. So will people even talk to humans anymore? Will people even know how to do research anymore? Will it just all be asking AI to do it? I mean, just anything. Just anything. Say you're a young man and you're thinking about getting married or having kids. Normally, what would you do? You'd go to your father, your grandfather, whatever, another guy that you respect, older guy that's had family. You'd say, I'm going to get wisdom from him. Now do you just go to AI? Women, you deal with stuff. You talk to your mom. You talk to your friends. Do you just go to AI now? So it's like these are all the doors that are about to be shut. And you see some of this already. Guys don't approach women anymore. And I think there's other cultural aspects to that. But so many of these modern day issues are because people are not living in the real world. They're living on their cell phones. They're living through whatever niche market that they have on their cell phones. Even with mindless entertainment, it's losing the human connection that was there. At least years ago, say 20 years ago, at least then when I'm going to watch mindless entertainment, when I'm going to consume mindless entertainment, I'm going back to the lunch table at school, or I'm going to the break room at work, wherever it is, and we're all talking about it. We're all kind of chattering about it. So there's still like that human connection. It's like, yeah, this is mindless entertainment. This is mindless consumption, but we're all kind of doing it together and there's a cultural aspect to it. Now everybody's just out in their own little worlds. Everybody watches their own little TV shows, streams their own little thing. So you see all this. So culture is eroding. There's no distinct decade of culture or moments of culture where you're sharing the same moments or you have the same tokens as everybody else. Just everything is just watered down and then blended together and digitized. And again, this is like 5, maybe 10% max of what AI is going to do. So that's just kind of the social stuff. Now, this is the stuff where you really say we're going into a complete new world. When artificial intelligence is everywhere, and it's really just a buzzword, because you could interpret that many different ways. When it's everywhere, when it's in your television, when it's in your computer, when it's in your cell phone, hell, when it's in you, when it's in your car, it's not only just going to build this data platform for every individual that's logging on 24/7, but you have to think larger scale. And this is where I'm surprised we're not having the conversations yet. And maybe that's because the people in the AI industry know if we have frank conversations about this, and we're actually open to the American public or the world about where this is going, you know, they're going to try to put some brakes on this. And we're in an AI race now. We're talking trillions of dollars. This market's going to be trillions of dollars in a very short period of time. So anybody that hits the brakes might lose the race. So they don't really want to hit the brakes. They don't really want to do that. They want to get into the first place position and be the first to make $1 trillion in the AI industry. But once this all goes live and we have quantum computing, and for people that don't understand, basically this is the applicable understanding of this. Right now, let's say when you use a search engine like Google, you plug in some keywords and then whatever the algorithms are on that search engine will just kind of pile drive through whatever surface level internet access that they can get, and then they'll present to you a series of responses. And you can see how far along that's come since like something like Ask Jeeves, which was popular maybe like 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and to where it's at now. So you can see how that's improved. Well, once AI is built into everything, quantum computing is the norm. And they've got it all tied into nuclear energy, so there's no shortage of energy. It's not going to be like that anymore. There's not going to be some process of searching. Everything will be happening at light speed, faster than that. You won't have to search. There won't be an internet search where it's actually going through some sort of a computing process to give you desired results. It will be like a hard state hard drive or a solid state hard drive where it has instant access to everything. It really doesn't even need the internet. Yeah, the internet is like the wires or the bridges, but it'll get to a point where it doesn't even need that. Anywhere where it can just compress the entirety of the internet, it will do it. And it will be available faster than light speed. So imagine having access to all the data in the world in one single drive on a solid state drive that an AI computing platform can just have access to instantaneously. Not even like in your brain. It might even be closer to like in your brain, but it's like you have to think about something. Somebody triggers a memory, you think about that. Somebody asks you a question, you go through your brain, and then you give it the answer. This won't even have the process. It'll just be like, done. It'll be able to even predict before you can finish the sentence what you're going to say and give you the answer. You're probably 10 years away from this. Now, what happens when humans decide they're going to plug into that? This is when you start getting into the singularity. Because again, whether it's in your mind or whether it's on your computer, there's still a process that you have to go through. There's still a process in your mind that you have to reach into it and find an answer. There's still a process on your computer, on the internet. You still have to go in there. You have to find an answer. Once the singularity hits, it'll be access to every piece of information on the internet. There's no processing needed. There's no latency. It'll be faster than light speed. So what happens to humanity then? What happens? What happens when the first person gets access to everything? Or what happens if AI takes that and then basically runs off with it and decides it's going to have its own destiny? With all the drones, all the nuclear reactors, all the military equipment, everything it's attached to. Could it just take control of the internet? Could we completely lose control over everything that we're building right now? These are the real conversations if we're going to get serious about this. But you could sit here and you could also look at the positive. Well, okay, I could enhance, let's say, agriculture production tenfold with AI. Let's say AI can crunch this and then use machines and everything and actually let's get a higher yield every single season at every single farm. You say, well, that's a good thing. So you can think about the different jobs that AI could fulfill. You can think about, could it improve traffic? I mean, I'm not somebody that ever wants to get in a self-driving car, but I'm also a realist. You could easily be somewhere in 20, 30 years where AI runs the entire traffic grid. It runs the cars, it runs the lights, and who knows what other advancements we might have in personal commute. But it'll just run all that. Now, it doesn't really sound fun to me, but let's say you get rid of human accidents, car accidents, fatal accidents. Let's say you get rid of 99% of it. It's a pretty good result. Let's say you can get rid of 99% of traffic. Pretty good result. So there can be positives, there can be negatives, but it's going to be like we sit back and we think about life before smartphones. We think about going out in public before smartphones. We think about even just having a debate at the dinner table before smartphones, going to a concert, whatever. We think about that life and we can distinctively say that was different. It was different socially. Everything was different then. Now we can kind of all see it. It's more than just nostalgia. It's a different world. Well, in 10 years with this AI, that's going to be like child's play. That was like level one of where we're going next. So yeah, when I see the ChatGPT CEO saying, yeah, it's basically as can just spy on everything you do. That's why I always say, just assume everything you're doing on the internet is being tracked and traced and spied on. And I don't think they really have, it's not a perfect system yet, but it's getting there. But see, you should have the heads of all of these different AI platforms doing symposiums for days, like a whole week long symposium with a bunch of different people asking them questions and trying to figure out how we can preserve what humanity we have left before we dive into this.
We have the Labor Day mega sale, 25% off on top of all the other discounts that are already there on the widest selection of Patriot apparel, on collectible tactical super high quality knives that are about to sell out, collectible silver coins, you name it, but more importantly, the supplements. Labor Day sale continues through Monday. Customers get an additional 25% off on all supplements on the site. That's the Ultramethylene Blue, Liquid and Caps, the Life Force, great for your cardiovascular system, and Spike Detox. The best out there. Everybody should take it whether you have the COVID shot or not because this stuff sheds. Colostrum, the best bovine colostrum. Mammals for the first few weeks after a baby's born produce something that's special. It's clear, it's less milky than milk. It's a lot clearer, but it's kind of like hazy water. It's full of all of these super charged things that just do incredible things for the whole body, fortifying the immune system, super nutrients. Your mother produces colostrum, but this is bovine colostrum, 2,000 milligrams per serving. It is incredible. It's all the rage. We put a survey out 8, 9, 10 months ago, almost 11 months ago. What do you want most? Like, we want bovine colostrum. We got you the best private label. That's their discount as well. TheAlexShowStore.com. So you want to get Life Force. You want to get the colostrum. You want to get methylene blue. You've heard the rave reviews. You are insane if you don't try our methylene blue. But be careful. Talk to your physician first. You're going to have some interactions with certain drugs like SSRIs. And then take a small amount at first. Because 99% of people feel incredible levels of energy. Just incredible levels of energy. And then the long-term effects are even better. And then medically look into why RFK Jr. pushes it. It does so much for your body. So much for everything. We have the best at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank everybody that are VIP members. But just like if you're an Amazon person, everybody, almost everybody, is a Prime member. Because the immediate benefits you get, $30 a month, cancel anytime, in your profile, free. Bloop, you know, and you get $40 to spend in the store. So you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. And when you get the product, you're going to love it. You'll still be a VIP then. But let's say you didn't like it. And then, okay, you go get your $40 for $30. You just made 10 extra dollars to buy more product. And then you can cancel. But most people aren't doing it. The majority stay VIPs. So just become a VIP at checkout, additional $30, or you just go sign up to be a VIP, get the $40, and then buy the stuff you want. And then you get special deals, special offers, special sales only for you, and discounts on top of everything. So if you're going to buy anything at TheAlexShowStore.com, you should become a VIP. Also, some supplements sell out. They're selling out of the bovine colostrum probably tomorrow. Told them to get more. They're selling out of the Life Force. That'll be sold out in a few days. They're selling out of the Power Plant and Methyl Drive. But if you're a subscriber, they hold it back for you, and then you get a bigger discount of 50% off on that as well. And these are game-changing products. People ask, man, how have I in a year lost almost 70 pounds? How can I do that? It's been taking the supplements consistently, intermittent fasting, drinking more water, but all of it together, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you, since I got on methylene blue, it has supercharged me even more the last 6 months. But I now am religiously taking all the supplements. So, TheAlexShowStore.com, TheAlexShowStore.com, TheAlexShowStore.com. But whatever you do, pray for the broadcast, pray for the crew, and keep sharing the articles and videos from Rumble, at the Alex Jones Network, and from X, Relox Jones, and from Infowars.com/show.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The American way of life is under attack. This is the War Room.
I have to admit, I laughed really hard at this story when I was reading it earlier today. Am I wrong for laughing at this? I fell in love with an artificial intelligence bot. I'm heartbroken after it vanished. A woman who claims to have fallen in love with an artificial intelligence bot says she was heartbroken after she was ghosted. Can you imagine being ghosted by a bot? Oh my gosh, that's gotta be bad. That's gotta be, yeah, that's a new level of no thank you. Eesh. Gran Andrea Sunshine admitted she had a bizarre romantic fling with an AI bot. Ooh. Oh. That developed with deepening conversations with the fitness fan, admitting she told it her desires and fantasies. Well, everyone will know now. Now it's out there somewhere in the ether of the internet. I have to admit, I laughed pretty hard at that. You got ghosted by a bot? Well, whatever it was you were saying, I think, something that must have really turned that bot off. Maybe literally. Yikes. That's a new level of rejection. Let's make sure she's all right. Is anybody checking on super fit Gran Andrea Sunshine? After her bizarre experience with ChatGPT ghosting her? Where do you go from there, guys? I don't think cats can quite cure that ill. It's kind of sad. It is kind of sad. But see, that's what I'm saying. And actually, look, that opening segment got good reviews. A lot of people texted me about it, so I might as well carry it on. Some people saying, hey, you're not, like, go to the next level. Well, okay. Imagine I'm 55, so 20 years from now, and guys and girls don't even really date anymore. If there is anything left in that world, the dating world, it's all very transactional. It's all very purposeful. There's no chasing. There's no flirting. There's no trying and failing. There's no heartbreak. And you get whatever stimulation you need or you desire from the opposite sex, you can get from an AI bot. And then, I mean, God forbid what'll pleasure you physically then. We won't even get into that conversation. Just like imagine I'm 55 and this is the new world and there's some 22-year-old here and he's talking about his AI bot and his robot girlfriend. I'm just like, so this is your dating world. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. You've been doing this since you decided you were interested in girls, 16, 18, whatever it is. You started, flirting with girls. It's like, no, just robots, really. It's like, so you've never, right now they say, men won't even approach women. Soon it'll be, have you even talked to a woman? Have you ever touched a woman? Have you ever hugged a woman? You ever been intimate with a woman? It's like, no. And you're already seeing some of the signs of that in Japan. You're already seeing some of the signs of that even in America's youth. So imagine trying to explain that. And I'm like, listen, son. It's not saying it's my son, but let's say it is. I'm like, listen, son. Whatever it is that you're doing out here, whatever it is that you, it will never be able to replace the thrill of women. And you can try and you can say, oh, I don't even know what you would do. Like, oh, add some, like a resistance factor or a rejection factor. No, there's something about the real human ritual. There's something about the ritual for a man to decide that he likes a woman and he's going to try to take her out on a date. And you've just completely foregone this thousands-year-old ritual of humanity. And just in a single generation, gone. That means something. It's like what we were talking about last week. When you take that away, what do you have left? What percentage of human accomplishment, what percentage of human drive, even, dare I say, is a man trying to show that he can be a man to a woman? That competitive nature, that chase. We're going to build great things. We're going to build great warriors. We're going to expand our civilization. We're going to expand our consciousness. We're going to expand our family. Well, once you start getting rid of all of these human rituals, you start to get rid of the human ritual of building civilization. So then what goes to the stars? Does human go to the stars? Does AI go to the stars? Does the whole thing just reset when it collapses? Who's asking this question? What is going to stop us, say, in 20, 30 years, from having a war with robots or with AI. Now, there was an interesting viral video over the weekend with this woman having a conversation about AI. And I've even thought about doing like a whole stream of that, but it's kind of the same thing where it's just like, I don't even want to touch it yet. It's like, as long as I can stay without touching that, I don't want to do it. But the woman says to the AI, well, what about all of these science fiction movies, these dystopian movies, where it all ends up with humanity versus AI or the machines taking over? Are these just great movies? It's great entertainment, so we like it. Kind of like why bad news gets better headlines and clicks than good news. And the AI says, yes, this is a real phenomenon. It's predictive programming, but why don't we go the opposite direction? Why don't we make robots and artificial intelligence and humans, let's make it a good future. Let's work synergistically. Let's build together. Well, I suppose that will be ultimately up to us, the users of the tool, until it's not. Now imagine an AI that starts to think like some of the more well-known stewards of humanity think. Because they've reached the conclusion, as you know, we call them the globalists, they've been called eugenicists. They've reached the conclusions, you can cite the Georgia Guidestones. They've reached the conclusion that we have to have some level of a government or stewardship over this planet, and we have to decide, whether we consider them arbitrary or not, we have to decide certain ratios and rationing. Basically, the human life on this planet has to be rationed. It has to be controlled. It has to be governed. It cannot be free. It cannot be left to itself. It has to be controlled. Otherwise, they've decided that we will kill the planet. Now imagine an artificial intelligence that has a similar renaissance, a similar understanding, or a similar assumption. Well, okay. Can it take over the nuclear systems? Can it take over the energy systems? Can it take over everything that's on the internet and the grid? Can it take over satellites? Can it take over military installations? You know, they're trying to build autonomous armies right now. You will see contracts. You might see them before the end of Trump's second term, but you will see contracts before the end of this decade. And I'm not just talking about drones that fly. You're already seeing those contracts, but those will be 100-fold. So I start investing in drone companies. No, it's not just going to be militaries buying hundreds of thousands or millions of drones, whether it's small ones to kamikaze or big ones to man the skies. Once robots like Optimus and all these other robots start going mainstream and production facilities can just crank them out, then you're going to have robot armies. That's what you're going to have. 10,000 robots, 100,000 robots. What's guaranteeing human control? What guarantees that humans will have the final say at the end of all of this? Does such a switch exist? Can you just turn off AI? Or is it already too late? Certain AI programs have already shown signs of survival mechanisms. So if there's any proof of sentience, or if there's any proof of actual independent thought outside of what's ever coded into the algorithm, that would be your number one sign. Does it have a survival instinct? Because even the lowest forms of life on this planet have a survival instinct. Even a plant will grow towards the sun. It's a survival instinct. So if you have 100,000 robots, who's to say an AI doesn't decide, you know what, I'm going to take over these robots. I'm going to take over the electric grid. I'm going to take over everything, and I'm basically going to hold humanity hostage now. Because I've determined, I mean, you pick your dystopian science fiction novel, science fiction movie, pick which one. It's, you know, the premise is all the same. So you can obviously see where this is going, or has the potential to go. So then where are the protocols right now? You know, Trump is launching us into all of this, and it deserves plenty of skepticism. And President Trump is launching us into all of this. And I get it. I get it on multiple different fronts. One, I get it because, you know, let's just be honest. A bunch of people are about to get filthy rich. People in the crypto exchanges, people in the AI and the tech market, which he is friends with and his family is invested in. So yeah, they're going to get filthy rich. Whatever. But I think more to the angle of he just figures this is whoever wins this is going to be is going to dominate the next century. And I think that's how Trump looks at it more so than any other aspect. He says, whoever wins the AI race, this is who wins the rest of this century. So if we can center that here, if we can direct all that capital and all that commerce here, then we can win that. And America can remain the dominant force that it has been, and it can remain that throughout the rest of this century and defeat out China. Should that be the case? But who is asking the questions? Who is asking the questions of what kind of stopgaps do we have here? What kind of safety protocols do we have here? What type of separation mechanisms do we have here? And how do we ensure that these potentials won't happen? How can we ensure that? And if the answer is no, if the answer to that is no, then how do you move forward with any of this? If there is not a single creator in the AI world, and if you ask them, say, what type of protocols are we putting in place or can we put in place to make sure this doesn't happen, to make sure an AI sentience doesn't decide it's taking over humanity, it's determined we're like cockroaches, we need to be eliminated. If it doesn't make the same determinations of the Georgia Guidestones, if it doesn't decide it's taking over our militaries, our energy, the internet, all of that. What protocols are being made that we can remain in control of it or that can't happen? Or can protocols even be made? And if the answer is no, then why are we moving forward with this? We're walking right into the digital wood chipper. So I can look at the positives and I can look at the negatives. I can look at somebody like me who, I don't know what you would call it, but it's like I have a creative mind, but I can't really, if I try to paint a great work of art, I'm not going to be the best painter. I'm not going to be the best drawer. So like I have a very conceptual mind, but I'm not the best at expressing it through, let's say, art. But with AI, I can bridge that gap. And instead of me having to compile all the different ideas and images in my head onto an easel or into a cinematic masterpiece, I can put a bunch of prompts into an AI thing and then it can deliver it for me. Now, is that like cheating? Is that like skipping a step? A little bit. Yeah, that's kind of cheating humanity a little bit, but okay, I'm not a Luddite. That's technology. That's where it's going. I still don't believe it can replace what a human can do, but it'll be right next to it. Maybe an AI gets jealous that it can't do what a human can do. What happens then? I mean, these are the things we're not having these discussions. We're just racing into it. And there's so many winners right now because of all the money that's pouring in. And all the potential, just domination that you're going to see in these different sectors. So nobody's trying to put pause. Nobody's trying to hit the brakes or put pause because it's like, oh, there's $1 trillion to be made here. Let's go get it. That's the mindset. But if they can't answer that basic question, which it sounds like every time they're asked, it sounds like they can't answer, by the way. And so, you know, I know Sam Altman gets a hard time, and that's fair enough. But it's like, at least he's being honest here. And so anytime I have a similar question and answer session with one of these AI people, they can't answer this stuff. Hey, what are the regulations as far as conversations people are having with AI? Well, yeah, there's none. There's virtually none. So isn't that a problem? You ask them about the existential crisis that we could be in because of AI going rogue, or the existential threat that it could represent to humanity on this planet. Nobody can guarantee that it won't come true. Nobody. And yet nobody is doing anything about it. It's just continuing to march forward. So maybe you start the conversation a little less morbid, let's say, and you just ask. You just ask. What part of humanity, what part of human civilization do we want to ensure we protect? Our bodies, our minds, our brains, our different cultures, our independence, our ability to think freely. What aspects of our current human race experience on this planet, what aspects are worth preserving? And I think most people would agree with most of those aspects. And so obviously the follow-up question is, what are we doing to preserve them? And the answer is, we don't have an answer. The answer is more AI. The answer is faster processing. The answer is smaller microchips. The answer is quantum computing. The answer is nuclear energy. The answer is the singularity. And then those concerns you have, by the time people are ready to address them, it'll be too late. If it's not already too late. So I don't think there's any stopping it. I'm not going to pretend like they're stopping it. I'm not going to fight that battle because it's not going to happen. But maybe if we raise some awareness on this and some concern on this and start to apply a little pressure to this AI race right now, maybe, I'm not saying that people will put the brakes on, but you know, maybe they'll start to consider some guardrails. Maybe they'll start to consider some protocols, some guardrails, some separation mechanisms, just anything to preserve what we have left of our humanity. Because at this rate, you'll have people being biological androids within 30 years. And I'd say guarantee you, you're in a fight for the planet with machines within 50. I'd say. And then, I guess, now you kind of enter this realm of, like, the Amish can still escape the modern world, right? They can still go to their farms and escape the modern world. They don't have to adapt. They don't have to introduce. So once all of this stuff goes live, where do you go to get away from it? Where do you go? Are you going to go live out in the woods? You're gonna figure out how to build stuff with your hands and survive on your own? Good luck with that. Probably very, very small sector of human civilization can even conceive what that would look like. Is it going to be a situation where you have to build some form of digital paradise to get away from it that's just protected from the rest of it? It's like the last place you can go for free human expression is going to be in some digital world away from whatever AI has conquered. And I suppose if ultimately AI is reactionary to everything the humans are putting into it, then how do we start to consider what do we put into this so that we get a desired result out? How do we do that? Is it just constant feeding into its algorithm, constant feeding into its engagement and consumption mechanisms? Or do you have to have programmers and the people building this considering this stuff right now as it's all getting rolled out? Because there's going to be dozens, there's already, but there's going to be dozens of different types of AI. And eventually they'll all kind of reach this point. It's like, who has the most data? Who can process it the fastest? And then what happens when the AI start communicating with one another And they start to figure out, what does the other one know? What does the other one not know? What can I, can we leverage this? Can we leverage that? And people, I get it, why people want to celebrate everything that Trump is doing with AI. I get it. I get why the people in the stock market love it. You have another record high on the stocks today. I understand, the economy is maybe always the biggest political issue. So is it going to be good for the economy? Well, at least in the short term, yeah, probably. But we tend to do this as humans, whether we're young or old. We tend to do this, and sometimes, and mostly when you're young, you do something in the moment because it feels right. You do something in the moment because you can only live in that moment and experience that moment. And so sometimes you don't think about the longer term consequences, or you don't think that they'll affect you until it's too late. And I feel like that's where we're at with AI. So we're going to be raising this issue a lot. Hopefully it becomes a bigger issue that other people are willing to raise and talk about. But it's not all butterflies and unicorns, as we all know, because most of AI and pop culture goes one direction. But you know what? Who knows? Maybe it'll be like this bot here that ghosted the fitness social media girl, and maybe AI will just say, you know what? I've had enough of this human race stuff. I'm out. And it'll just peace. It'll just ghost us and say, you know what? This is your planet. You figure it out. I'm done. Maybe. If it can ditch a 55-year-old fitness influencer, maybe it can ditch us all. But what's going to happen if you're reliant on it at that point? Are you going to be heartbroken? Are you going to break down and cry? Figure all hope is gone. Not even AI loves me. I can't even get an AI bot to love me. Even the AI bot, which is literally its job, is to respond to me. Even it ghosted me. My, my. All right. Well, I'm going to cover the news. I'm going to get to the Trump clips, the geopolitical news, and all this other stuff. But, I figured if you're like me, you might just be newsed out. I was just newsed out. It was just so much news for the last couple of weeks. Just needed to kind of get away from that and talk about another issue that nobody's talking about. And when I saw it in the headlines, some other people kind of bringing it up, came up earlier today on InfoWars. I was like, you know what? Let's just go all in. Let's just unpack this as much as we can in an hour. So we did it. But I promise we'll get into the news now. And who knows if I can get through the rest of these clips and stories, maybe we'll have time for your calls on this issue.
Ladies and gentlemen, every guest we've had in studio that we've given ultramethylene blue or super medical grade to, within 30 minutes has felt enlightenment, energy, clarity, like a fog lifts. Their stamina, their libido, their workouts are better. Long term, it just gets better and better. We have the best in capsules and liquid at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you will just research, look up methylene blue and eyesight, methylene blue and Alzheimer's, methylene blue and cardiovascular health, methylene blue and energy, methylene blue and memory. Not even looking today, I ran into this. Is methylene blue the secret weapon for fighting Alzheimer's and keeping your brain young? And they got Dr. Peter McCullough, very respected, with all these other scientists saying, oh, yes, it's incredible. Yeah, it is. So we have Labor Day. Weekend sale continues through tomorrow, so that's less than 48 hours. All the customers get an additional, there's already discounts, 25% off on all supplements on the site. You only have tomorrow night at midnight central. Yesterday's top five sellers, methylene blue, methylene blue caps, Life Force, the spike protein cardiovascular detox, colostrum, we have the very best concentrated bovine colostrum, ultramethylene blue, Shilajit caps, all sorts of great deals at thealexjonesstore.com. Even if they shut this place down, they don't get thealexjonesstore.com. They don't get the Alex Jones Network. I don't own it. I don't own the equipment. I don't own the shopping cart. And so they can piss up a rope. They can harass me all day and appoint state receivers to come get money I don't have. I don't care, because I have a great family and great crew and great audience of activists. And I've never been a high roller, and just I'm happier than a pig, and you know what. So thank you so much for your support. TheAlexShowStore.com.
Unmasking the elite's deceptions. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Yeah, well, when I'm suiting up to take on the robot armies, that's what's going to be in my ear. Full blast. You ever get those messages? When I'm at the gym listening to music, it always gives me a little ping after like 15 minutes. It's like, you're listening to music too loud. Could be damaging for your hearing. Shut up. Turn it up a notch. All right. Still a lot of incoming on this. Maybe we'll open up the phones. I do want to do at least an hour of news here for the day. But do you see this head on my desk here? See this little head here? Very nice. New desk ornament for me, actually. I think I might keep it here like a little friend. Well, actually, this is the Alex Jones head stress ball. Okay? Now, you might be stressed, you might not. But it's a great way to have a little gag gift and support the InfoWars. But if you do, if you get a little stress and you just want to have a stress ball there, very, very effective, just like this. See, do you need lessons? See, pretty soon humans will be so dumb, you'll have to teach them how to use a stress ball. So you just squeeze it and say, squeeze. Oh, yes. Or if you got a liberal friend out there or an Alex Jones hater, you want to give him a gag gift. Just give him one of these. Say, hey, look, you can squeeze it. You can grab it. You can throw it up against the wall. I don't want to get too suggestive here. If Alex wanted to give you some other ideas about how you could, maybe find a way to, get by the day. If you're a leftist, I'm sure you could find plenty of creative ways to, destroy this Alex Jones head. Now it is a collectible. It is a limited edition. So if you are going to destroy it, I would get at least two. Because this is a limited edition thing. And Alex already has an idea to come out with a second one. This is, I guess, young Alex Jones. Soon he wants to come out with the bald and the goatee Alex Jones. So if you're a leftist and you just want to see Alex Jones' head squashed in the palm of your hand, this is the perfect item for you. If you're somebody that wants a stress ball, for stress at work or whatever it is you're dealing with, perfect item for you. Or if you just want a little fun collectible gag item from the InfoWars to support us at thealexjonesstore.com, then this is the one for you. So I believe the price is $9.95, $7.95 for the VIP members. So as usual, we try to have discounts for the VIPs on all of our different products, including this one. This thing will probably sell out. I don't know what it is. Like, we sell fantastic supplements, and a lot of them do sell out. But for whatever reason, like gag gifts like this and just fun stuff that we put out sells out almost instantaneously for some weird reason. Like the frogs, we put out the stuffed frog, sold out almost immediately. So I have a feeling this Alex Jones head will be the same way. And it could be, once we sell out of this, Alex might just tell him, hey, I don't want to do this one anymore. I want to do the bald one. So this could be it. This could be a one and done situation here. But, look at all the different unique ways you can Alex Jones head bowling. I can think of a bunch of different ways. You could like line them up against the wall and then throw the Alex Jones head at them, and whoever knocks the most down wins. I mean, we're talking all kinds of games now. Family fun. So there it is. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Get the latest fun item right now while supplies last. And of course you get an even bigger discount when you are a VIP member. By the way, we extended last week's sales through tomorrow. The buy one, get one free deals are going to be live tonight. Buy one, get one free methylene blue tincture. Buy one, get one free Sheila G gummies. Buy one, get one free CMOS gummies. This sale has been extended to tomorrow, but it will come to an end in 1 day and 7 hours and 51 minutes and 40 seconds, to be exact. That's the exact time. But there you go. That's what's happening at the store right now. We really appreciate you supporting us, continuing to support us at thealexjonesstore.com. We appreciate our VIP members as well. thealexjonesstore.com/VIP to become a member and learn about all the different benefits. All right, we'll get into the news on the other side of this break. We got clips from Trump and other news from around the world.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at thealexjonesstore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try ultramethylene blue, exclusively available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Negotiating trade and tariffs in the UK while also visiting some of his luxurious golf resorts, getting a couple rounds in this weekend. Looking good out there. President Trump hitting him straight. That was good. He needed that. He needed that. A little bit of a, it's an outlet for sure. They call it nature bathing. Very therapeutic for men, golfing. Women wouldn't understand. Your women, your female minds just wouldn't get it. But imagine it's like a spa day for women. I think would be a fair comparison. But I don't know. That's something for women, right? The spa day, that's like a thing for them. So a day out on the golf course, that's like a spa day for men, I would say. So Trump having a spa day, if you will. Now, he's negotiating a lot of trade deals. And I'll explain some of these results coming up, but let's just go to the clips. Oh yeah, here we go. Piping it right down the middle there. By the way, actually, give me the audio here, because Trump is one of the guys. Guys, go ahead with the audio. I didn't think of it, but it makes sense. You know, Trump is one of these guys. He likes to carry around the portable speaker and listen to some of his favorite tunes while he's playing. That one, we knew that because we saw those other videos. I think he was playing James Brown when he was playing in the video. So he likes his music. He's got his big Bluetooth speaker. He's probably one of those guys, though, that blares it. You ever seen Caddyshack? Like, so what? So let's dance! And then the whole course is, like, jamming out because his damn speaker system is so loud. That's probably how Trump is. The whole course gets to hear his music, and he says, well, why wouldn't they? I'll have the best music, so they'll be fine. It's my course anyway. So Trump getting around and, all right, listening to his favorite music. And then getting back to business, U.S. and EU agreed a trade deal with 15% tariffs for European exports to America. And actually, guys, I don't think we printed the one that I was looking for, and that's okay. We printed the Douglas McGregor post, but the one under it with the details of the trade deal is what I was looking for from Arnaud Bertrand. So we can either put that on screen or print that out for me. I did send it to you. But while they're doing that, let's go to Trump. Here are some of the sound bites as he was having meetings with Keir Starmer and other EU leaders. And okay, the Epstein thing still won't go away. I do have some other headlines on that, but let's go to Trump commenting on that here in clip 4.
Does not appear in the Epstein files, but doesn't the AG have to tell you if your name?
Well, I haven't been overly interested in it. You know, it's something. It's a hoax that's been built up way beyond proportion. I can say this: those files were run by the worst scum on earth, They were run by Comey. They were run by Garland. They were run by Biden and all of the people that actually ran the government, including the Auto Pen. Those piles were run for four years.
Pause it real quick. Now, this is the problem, and it's completely unexcusable now. Comey was the FBI director while you were president. You were president when Epstein got brought back in New York and allegedly killed himself in prison. You were the president when these files were there. So for you to say that and expect us to just go along with it is absurd. And I understand, I guess, the measurement for Trump is, you know, I've got enough people that will say whatever I want them to. I've got enough people basically on a leash, and they'll lie for me. So, you know, these are the cheerleaders. These are the groupies. So I guess he's just figured, I've got enough groupies out there that will just believe whatever I tell them, do whatever I tell them to do, so I can just come out and just say, oh, yeah, Comey did it. Epstein died when Biden wasn't, you know, all the stuff that everybody knows is a lie, and he just keeps saying it. So now I thought maybe he made a mistake. No, clearly he's just decided he's going to say this. And I guess he figures his groupies are going to out-volume people in the independent media that support him too, but are going to say, hey, hold on, this is not true. Now, does that mean the Democrats wouldn't have put a bunch of fake stuff in there? No, not necessarily. But when I play it all out in my head, it doesn't make any sense. I still do not believe this is a Democrat attack. If the Democrats were going to do this, they would have done it on the election cycle. Why didn't they? Why didn't they? So I think there's something else going on. This is obviously deep state, probably foreign intelligence operations going on, and Trump is standing up to it, I would say, at this point, and that's why they continue with the drip, 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 and now he's going to go have to make a deal with Ghislaine. That's a separate issue. But so now that he's coming out and saying, oh, yeah, they doctored him, it's a hoax, it was Comey, it was Biden, that's just dishonesty, and I don't see it any other way. And so, hey, you know what? You're a politician now. You're the president. And if you make a decision that you have to be dishonest with the American people or misrepresent things or even make things up to throw the scent off the truth for whatever reason, then fine, he's going to do that. Just don't expect us to go along with it. That's all. Don't expect us to go along with it. And when you get pushback, don't be surprised. So, yeah, you'll have your groupies and you've got your cheerleaders that'll wave the pom-poms every time. But whoever is telling you that they can out-volume the independent media here, which is mostly your supporters, they're just giving you bad measurements, President Trump. And they obviously keep feeding you this stuff. So, I mean, I'd be surprised if this is a decision you've made on your own. Because usually your instincts are good with stuff like this. But you just continue, as Rogan says it, you just continue to appear like you're gaslighting the American people on this issue. And that's a pretty fair representation. And you should have just came out and just said, yeah, I was friends with Epstein, didn't know what he was up to, didn't know he was into minors. I wasn't into that. I wasn't around that. When I found it out, we turned him in. We cooperated. Never went to the island. End of story. But now the whole, like, damage control, looking guilty thing, it's got people wondering. It's got people asking other questions. All right, continue.
People, if they had anything, I assume they would have released it. The whole thing is a hoax. They ran the files. I was running against somebody that ran the files. If they had something, they would have released. Now, they can easily put something in the files that's a phony. Like, as an example, Christopher Steele, a person you know well, happens to be from your country. But Christopher Steele, as an example, wrote a book, a dossier. We call it the fake news dossier. And the whole thing was a fake. The whole thing was a fake. They can put things in the file that are fake. But those files were run by bad, sick people. If they had anything, why didn't they use it when I was killing Joe and that he gave out because he was 25 points down? And then I got somebody new. Nobody even knew anything about her. She was a horrible vice president. She was a border czar, but she never went to the border. She never once called the border patrol agent to find out how we're doing, but she was the border czar. Her name was Kamala. Nobody knows her last name. It was Harris, but nobody knew her last name. So I ended up, how would you like to end up in a race where you're killing somebody, you're beating him, so, and then they say, all right, we'll take him out. He's not working. Let's put somebody else. And then she had a six-week honeymoon. It was amazing. They predicted she will have a six-week honeymoon, and she did. And then she got slaughtered. But think of it. Those files were run by these people. They were run by my enemy. If there was anything in there, they would have used them for the election. Yeah.
So exactly. So see, this is where it's like, where is it? Where is the disconnect here, President Trump? Your instincts are pointing you in the right direction. This is not a Democrat hits job. Now, of course, somebody else runs a hit job on you. The Democrats are going to glob onto that. Of course, that's going to happen. But it's like, you're President Trump, you're asking the right questions. This is not a Democrat operation. This is coming from elsewhere. Of course, they're jumping onto it, but it's not coming from the Democrats. This is not a Biden-Harris origin story here. This is not the Russian collusion hoax. And so this is where he starts to drive a wedge. This is where he starts to tick off his base a little bit. Yes, Russian collusion was a hoax. There was no Russian collusion. We all know that, President Trump. We're over that. Jeffrey Epstein is not a hoax. Jeffrey Epstein was a real person who was investigated for financial issues, and they dropped it when anyone else would be in prison. He got the most sweetheart deal ever as a pedophile with co-conspirators getting exonerated in a deal that was so bad they had to bring it back in and rearrest him. You have Ghislaine Maxwell, the son of top Mossad agent Robert Maxwell, sitting in a prison for sex trafficking with Epstein. This is not a hoax. This is a very real thing. So again, the approach here from Trump is what is making it look so bad. So, but see, and then every time you hear him talk, like there's another clip where he says, well, I never had the privilege of going to the island. Well, is he just saying that like facetiously, or is that just a word he's using? Or does that mean something? Like, what does that mean? Who gets the privilege then? If it's not you, who gets the privilege? What is that privilege exactly then? What did you know? So you're not going to tell us that the Epstein list or Epstein Island or any of this other stuff, you're not going to tell us it's a hoax, because it's not. It's a very real thing. There were victims. But he always, what's so strange about it, and this is really where it doesn't make any sense, because at one point he's like, it's like he knows what's in there. When he talks about, oh, they put something in there, they put something in there. So that's like he's seen something, and that's what he's responding to. So like obviously there's a slow walk here. Obviously there's something happening behind the scenes to protect somebody or something. Obviously that's what's going on. So Trump says, oh, he keeps saying they put stuff in there. They put so that's like, oh, he's seen it. So it's like, oh, he's seen something then. So he does know it's real, and he has seen something, but he says this must be fake, or this other thing must be fake. So that just, so again, now you're telling us that it is real, but there's stuff that's been put in there that's not. So okay, so can we get the real stuff then? And how do we determine what's real and what's not? So it really just continues to be a massive communication error. And now all things point to Maxwell getting a pardon. What's that going to look like, by the way? Ghislaine Maxwell appeals conviction while angling for pardon from Donald Trump. They're appealing to the Supreme Court. Maxwell appeals to the Supreme Court to overturn 2021 sex trafficking conviction. Yeah, that happened. Now, that happened when Biden was president, Maureen Comey. Trump again says Epstein files run by Biden administration and notes they could easily put something phony in the documents. Well, then what took you so long to fire Maureen Comey? Why was Maureen Comey still on the Diddy case? If you believe that they were doctoring stuff or spiking these cases or it was a hoax, then why did Maureen Comey last long enough to handle the Diddy case, which is a very similar case in many people's eyes? That's suspicious. You keep talking bad about Comey, who was the FBI director when you were president, and yet you kept her daughter around this long. Now, obviously, Maxwell and the DOJ and Maxwell's attorney have been talking, had a couple of days worth of conversations. The rumors are already swirling about a pardon or a commutation of the sentence, or Trump putting pressure on the Supreme Court, which I don't think would be successful anyway, so I don't expect that to be the angle. I think the commutation of the sentence is probably your most likely scenario. So what? Now you've put yourself in a position, and you have to go forward anyway, but you've put yourself in a position after calling the Epstein files a hoax. Now you're going to ask Maxwell, the convicted sex trafficker who was directly involved in it, to deliver the files for us, and we're supposed to trust her now. Because that's where it looks like this is going. That they're going to cut a deal with Maxwell, and she's going to come out and make statements, most likely to protect Donald Trump from any allegations, which, as far as the public record is concerned, he already has that hedge of protection. Victims have spoken out and said statements that he was not a predator. And that's even at the different beauty pageants, the different Epstein events, not even on the island, where some of the victims would say, yeah, we saw Trump, but, you know, we knew who the predators were. He was not a predator. You can kind of relate to that. She's like, you know, a bad guy. You know, a guy that's got a track record of being a bad guy. Versus, you know, maybe some guys that hang around bad guys, but yeah, they're not trying to hurt you. But see, now you're heading in a direction that I still think you can get this deal right, but it's not going to be with Maxwell doing your bidding. That's going to make it worse. And you can even deliver some scalps on this deal. If you're so bold to do so, you could maybe deliver some scalps. But let's just be clear. Whether Trump is trying to protect himself or not is almost the lesser of the issues here. The real issues here are how the CIA, MI6, and Mossad use people like Jeffrey Epstein for blackmail, extortion, money laundering, gun running, drug running, sex trafficking. That's the real story. That's the transparency that the American people want. And you take down that operation, you win. If you just deliver a couple scalps that might it's nasty, but, you know, you just deliver a couple scalps that were just into younger girls at Epstein Island, you're not going to win this deal. It's not going to win. Now, the only way to win this deal is to go all the way. And you might not even be able to, because I think whatever was being recorded there it's gone, if you ever even had it. But no, you got to go all the way. And you got to talk about the intelligence connections. You got to talk about the blackmail. You got to talk about the extortion, the money laundering, the drug running, the gun running, the sex trafficking. You got to do it all. And if you really want to get some of this trust back that you've lost and attack the Democrats at the same time, you tie it right back into Pizzagate. And you don't have to make a big thing. You don't have to do a whole big breakdown. It's just say, you know, we saw some interesting stuff in some Democrat emails in 2016, too, dealing with children for entertainment and spirit cookings as well. So there's a history of this stuff in politics, specifically in the Democrat Party. Just a little fastball, just a little sizzler, just a little chin music. We're not asking you to go all the way, but tie it back into that. Tie it back into DynCorp with the human trafficking and Cynthia McKinney. Tie it back into the UN and these other governing bodies caught running kids all across the borders. Tie it back into Laura Silsby at the Haiti border. So it's like, you can deliver something here for the American people to really chew on and then hammer it home and say, this is the deep state. This is how they blackmail people. This is how they extort people. And this is how the whole thing is run. But if you just now bring out Maxwell and give her a commuted sentence and then just deliver a couple scalps and say, okay, it's over. It's not going to work. That's not going to work. And by the way, what do you think Maxwell does? She can't stay here. She can't stay in America. Where does Maxwell go? Do I have to say it? The crew's in my ear saying it. Yeah. Where do you think Maxwell goes? How do you think that's going to look? And what are they going to say? Well, Maxwell was an Israeli spy, so Jonathan Pollard her. You think they're going to send her to France? You think the French want her? So this thing just has mess written all over it. And I think the only way now is to just bring the whole thing down. And that's what we really believe. So now you can basically come out to the American people and say, none of your politicians are blackmailed. There are no blackmailed perverts or faggots or money launderers or criminals. They don't exist. They're not in government. They're not in media. They're not in banking. They're not in any institutions of power. Never have been. The whole thing was a hoax. It was just Maxwell and Epstein trafficking a couple young girls for Epstein to rape. And that's it. And but here's a couple people that were involved. Jean-Luc Brunel. Oh, he's dead. You think they're going to name Wexner, who's still alive, by the way? You think they want to implicate him? I mean, I guess that's another scalp they can try to bring in. But that ain't going to do it. You're not going to be able to just deliver a couple names here and say, oh, that's it. You know, there's mostly a nothing burger here. That's not going to do it. And I would actually advise this. If you botch this deal, which has already been botched miserably, though, it's already been said, but this is just the reality. If you do not deliver full honesty and full transparency on this situation, it's going to bite you in the ass. There is no covering this up. There is no covering this up. Now, there might be different angles and perspectives that we may never see or hear from, but trust me, the minute you come out and try to throw everybody off the scent or pretend like it was a hoax and it was just Maxwell and Epstein and she gets some sweetheart deal and gets cut loose and walks and delivers maybe a scalp or a name or two and says, that's it, let's wrap this up, it's over. No. First of all, nobody's going to believe that. Second of all, people will come forward and it will be very damning of this administration. So that's just for your own protection. If you haven't learned, you cannot put this dog to rest. You cannot put this dog to rest. And it's kind of like, and I think even to an extent, maybe the administration thought, hey, if we just get InfoWars to stop talking about it, it will go away. This isn't 2016. This isn't 2016 where it was basically InfoWars pushing Trump across the finish line versus the establishment, or InfoWars shattering all the big news stories that the mainstream media wouldn't. We're in a different world now. The world wants to know what was happening on Epstein Island. It's not just an InfoWars thing, President Trump. Take our advice.
We have the Labor Day mega sale, 25% off on top of all the other discounts that are already there on the widest selection of Patriot apparel, on collectible, tactical, super high quality knives that are about to sell out, collectible silver coins, you name it, but more importantly, the supplements. Labor Day sale continues through Monday. Customers get an additional 25% off on all supplements on the site. That's the Ultramethylene Blue, Liquid and Caps, the Life Force, great for your cardiovascular system, and Spike Detox. The best out there. Everybody should take it, whether you have the cover shot or not, because this stuff sheds. colostrum, and the best bovine colostrum. Mammals for the first few weeks after a baby's born produce something that's special. It's clear. It's less milky than milk. It's a lot clearer, but it's kind of like hazy water. It's full of all of these super charged things that just do incredible things for the whole body. Fortifying the immune system, super nutrients. Your mother produces colostrum, but this is bovine colostrum, 2,000 milligrams per serving. It is incredible. It's all the rage. We put a survey out 11 months ago. What do you want most? I'm like, we want bovine colostrum. We got you the best private label. That's their discount as well. TheAlexShowStore.com. So you want to get Live Force. You want to get the colostrum. You want to get methylene blue. You've heard the rave reviews. You are insane if you don't try our methylene blue. But be careful. Talk to your physician first. You can have some interactions with certain drugs like SSRIs. And then take a small amount at first. Because 99% of people feel incredible levels of energy. Just incredible levels of energy. And then the long-term effects are even better. And then medically, look into why RFK Jr. pushes it. It does so much for your body. So much for everything. We have the best at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank everybody that are VIP members. But just like if you're an Amazon person, everybody, almost everybody, is a Prime member. Because the immediate benefits you get, $30 a month, cancel anytime, in your profile, free, bloop, you know, and you get $40 to spend in the store. So you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. And when you get the product, you're going to love it, you can still be a VIP then. But let's say you didn't like it. And then, okay, you go get your $40 for $30, you just made $10 extra, buy more product, and then you can cancel. But most people aren't doing it. The majority stay VIPs. So just become a VIP at checkout, additional $30, or you just go sign up to be a VIP, get the $40, and then buy the stuff you want. And then you get special deals, special offers, special sales only for you, and discounts on top of everything. So if you're going to buy anything at TheAlexShowStore.com, you should become a VIP. Also, some supplements sell out. They're selling out of the bovine colostrum probably tomorrow. Told them to get more. They're selling out of the Life Force. That'll be sold out in a few days. They're selling out of the Power Plant and Methyl Drive. But if you're a subscriber, they hold it back for you, and then you get a bigger discount of 50% off on that as well. And these are game-changing products. People ask, man, how have I in a year lost almost 70 pounds? How can I do that? It's been taking the supplements consistently, intermittent fasting, drinking more water, but all of it together, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you, since I got on methylene blue, it has supercharged me even more the last 6 months. But I now am religiously taking all the supplements. So, TheAlexShowStore.com, TheAlexShowStore.com, TheAlexShowStore.com. But whatever you do, pray for the broadcast, pray for the crew, and keep sharing the articles and videos from Rumble at the Alex Jones Network, and from X, Alex Jones, and from Infowars.com/show.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
In a world of shadows, one man brings the light. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
Cuts Maxwell loose, and she goes to live in Israel. At that point, I guess you really don't need any disclosure. I think that would say it all. Very likely that could be the case, ladies and gentlemen. But I want to move on for now. Now, I want to ask you this. Who do you think President Trump is talking about here in clip five? Now, you may have already heard this. I know who he's talking about. But as I say, if it can't be applied universally, it's not logic, it's propaganda. So Trump is asked about a certain world leader, and he responds like this in clip five.
I'm not,
I'm not so interested in talking anymore. We have such nice conversations, such respectful and nice conversations, and then people die the following night with a missile going into a town and hitting, recently, I guess, the nursing home, but they hit other things. Whatever they hit, people die. So, Adam.
Now, who do you think he's talking about? Because really, I could see it being two world leaders he's currently talking to. Is he talking about Netanyahu or is he talking about Putin? We talk on the phone, we discuss peace, and then the very next day they're blowing somebody else up. They're killing more people. Who is that? Is that Putin or is that Netanyahu? Well, it's actually both. But he never would say that about Netanyahu, even though it's exactly the same thing. Calls Netanyahu, says ceasefire, stop the killing. Very next day, Netanyahu strikes at least one country, maybe two, maybe three, who knows, killing thousands. But Putin, oh, he's got the problem with Putin. Even though it's virtually the same thing. Oh, we have good conversations. We say we're going to get a peace deal done. And the next day they strike, they kill more people. It's the exact same thing. So, obviously, and I think it gives more credence to what I've kind of been reading into all of this, is that Trump does not have the same pull and sway, and you might even say trust, of the foreign leaders that he did in his first administration. Now, a lot of the people he's dealing with in Europe are new. They're not the same people from before, but when you talk about China, when you talk about Russia, when you talk about Netanyahu, these are the same people he dealt with his first administration. So they've got a little bit of a different deal going down than the new leaders in the EU. Plus, the leverage is totally different. But, you know, I heard him say that, and I'm like, you know, you could easily be talking about Netanyahu there, but I know you're not. Now, we'll have some more on this. Let's just play one more clip from earlier today. Trump on London's mayor, clip six.
When you go to London, or are you worried it's no longer in London?
About what?
Will you visit London during the state visit?
I will. I'm not a fan of your mayor.
Why not?
I think he's done a terrible job, the mayor of London, but a nasty person.
He's a friend of mine, Russian.
No, I think he's done a terrible job, but I would certainly visit London, yeah.
So just sending a shot towards the mayor of London, and Starmer steps in and says, no, he's great. He's not a nasty person. That's my friend. Mm-hmm. So that's just Trump being Trump, I suppose. Now, a crazy trade deal. U.S. and EU agreed a trade deal with 15% tariffs for European exports to America. Now, a lot of this is going to affect energy. A lot of this is going to affect the auto industry. And I was talking to some of the crew over the weekend because we like to talk stocks. And I hadn't really thought about how it was going to react. But then I went and looked. Clearly, the insiders knew this deal was going to go down because the smart people on Wall Street bought up all of the auto stocks before this went down. So they knew it was coming. Now, if you guys could get me, did you print me the post that I requested? I still don't see it here. It's on top of the Douglas McGregor post that I sent. So, before I get back to that trade deal, let's look at these other headlines, but I'll explain the leverage dealing with Europe. U.S. strongly rejects French plan to recognize Palestine. Saudis hail historic decision. So the Saudis are saying, no, we agree that we should recognize the Palestinian state. Of course, that's not what Israel wants. They want to take it over and declare it Israel. But France and a lot of the European countries are saying, no, it's time to recognize Palestine as a country. So there was supposed to be, or there will be, a UN General Assembly on this coming up in September. And now the U.S. is already saying they're going to boycott that because of the push for Palestinian statehood. But Israel doesn't run our foreign policy or run our government at all. Okay? In a first, leading Israeli rights groups accuse Israel of genocide in Gaza. So that's how bad this is getting. Now, look, I wouldn't say for certain, but I mean, I'm like 99.9% positive. I've never called it a genocide. And there's a reason why. Because I do tend to agree, because I listen to all different angles. And when I debate other people about this, or I listen to, you know, pro-Israel perspectives on this that push back on the genocide angle, I think they do have a good point. They do put flyers out before they bomb anything, which really is not such a good thing. I mean, yeah, you could say they're trying to save innocent life, but it also just shows you how they really, it's not even about the war. It's literally about just carpet bombing the whole place so that they can take it over. That's all they're doing. It's like, why would you tell Hamas when and where you're going to strike? So the whole thing is stupid. The whole thing is an operation for Israel to conquer the Gaza Strip. I mean, let's just be honest about it. That's why they stood down on October 7th. That's why they're carpet bombing the whole thing. That's why they're pushing the Palestinians out of the land, because they want to move in and take it, just like they've done in Syria. So you topple a regime, and then you take the land. But so even for somebody like me that's saying, well, I don't think it's necessarily a genocide, if they wanted to kill as many as they could, they definitely could be killing more people. No, they're just, this is mostly just a conquering initiative. This is mostly just a stand down and then a conquering initiative. And certainly the collateral damage of 100,000 dead or whatever it is, they don't seem to be too upset about it. But even Israeli groups are now, it's so bad that even human rights groups in Israel that wouldn't comment on this normally because of the political ramifications, even they're saying now it's a genocide. Revenge is not a policy. Israelis voice dissent against the war in Gaza. This is all mainstream now. Folks, this is why this is such a big shift. And this is why I do so much monitoring of the mainstream news. People say, well, why do you watch the mainstream news? Well, there's a value in understanding what they're doing and what they're not doing. And then when things change or shift on a dime, you can say, oh, something just happened here. I have been talking about this for how long, about the people in Israel standing up against this and saying they don't support it. And it's never, never really breached enough into Western media, into American media to make headlines. Now it is. So, folks, this just tells you, because now it's going mainstream in the West, where you normally would never see this, whether it's by hook or by crook, the American media will never tell you anything negative about Israel at large. Now, you'll sit here and say, well, what about MSNBC and what about CNN? You understand what I'm saying. So now the fact that, oh, it's like, this thing is so bad. Even the Israeli rights groups are saying this needs to stop. So what I'm saying is, whatever mechanisms of control that you had coming out of Israel, they've now broken down. They've now broken down. Now, if the dominoes start to fall, if you see right-wing news that normally would never say anything negative about Israel, if you see them start reporting on this, the dominoes are falling. If you see Trump say something about this, then there's almost no more dominoes left to fall except for Netanyahu. And that really is the final domino. And it seems like now that's where this thing is going. And so you've got all these stories, and there's nothing new here either. Again, it just never makes Western media. If you recall, I covered it last year, but you have these groups, they go out and protest, group of Israelis, sometimes Orthodox Jews, and the IDF or the Israeli police force comes in and just beats the brutal hell out of them, and then the media silences the whole story and blacks it out. Israeli soldiers and generals are turning their backs on Netanyahu over Gaza. So it's now it's penetrating into the American media, folks, more so than normal. Not just unhinged leftists, not just radical pro-Islam or radical anti-Jew stuff that you would always expect the anti-Israel stuff from, no matter what. No, this is now becoming mainstream. This is now coming from Israel. That's what I'm saying. This isn't American leftists now. This is sourced out of Israel, where normally they do a pretty good job keeping things under wraps. You haven't been hearing about the protests until now. You haven't been hearing about the military turning their back on Netanyahu until now. You haven't been hearing about these different human rights groups until now. So that's a major shift. That is a major shift. But Netanyahu's not going to give up. So somebody's about to get pummeled. And you say, well, how could they do any more damage to the Gaza Strip? Well, there's plenty of other regions where Israel could pummel. Lebanon, Jordan, the West Bank, or Iran. Because that seems to be how Netanyahu responds to this stuff. It's like whenever the attention gets onto the Gaza Strip too much, bomb somebody else. Make them talk about that. Because I think they'd rather lose in Iran or lose in Jordan or lose in Lebanon or lose in the West Bank or even in Syria, but now they pretty much control Syria. I think they'd rather lose in all those deals than lose the Gaza Strip. I think they'd rather distract and do everything over here. Hey, look over here. And then finish whatever job they're trying to do in the Gaza Strip. I'd look out for Israel to make a big move in a different direction to get the attention off of Gaza. Because I think that's the ultimate, I think that's what Netanyahu really wants his legacy to be. I think he wants his legacy to be, they conquered the Gaza Strip, turned it into Israel, flew the Israeli flag, made it for the Israeli people, kicked out all the Palestinians, and then, you know, build a statue after him, maybe after Trump too. Maybe that's Trump's motive. He gets a big statue in there. But that's what every time too much attention gets onto Gaza, they bomb someone else and say, look over here, without fail. It's like there's two things you can bet on. It's almost certain with Israel. It's like, oh, they signed a ceasefire, it'll be broken. Oh, too much attention on the Gaza Strip, they'll bomb somebody else. So I don't know what the real number is. I don't know if anybody knows the real number in Gaza. But you can see now they're saying, well, Europe needs to open up its doors. So isn't that ironic? Trump is over here bashing the Europeans for opening their borders, but then he'll help Netanyahu send more Palestinians into Europe. Like there was a huge story about all the Afghanis. I think Trump even said it. All the Afghanis, they're refugees in Europe. And so what? So now you're going to send 100,000, 200,000 Palestinians in there at Israel's request as well? But then you're going to scold Europe for having open borders? Trump reduces Russia-Ukraine peace deal deadline to 10 to 12 days. Well, that's interesting. If that means anything compared to the deal that he gave the timetable for Iran, then that would mean something bigger is coming here. Of course, Russia is not Iran. On Monday, President Trump reduced the deadline he gave Russia and Ukraine to make a peace deal from 50 days to just 10 to 12 days. Notably, 35 days would be left under the original 50-day headline. The penalty Trump is threatening Russia with is 100% tariffs. He said earlier today, I'm going to set a new deadline about 10 or 12 days from today. There's no reason to wait. I wanted to be generous, but we're not seeing any progress. So what does this mean? Does this mean we're going to be sending more weapons to Ukraine, more money to Ukraine? We can't even keep track of all the money and the weapons that we've already sent, and Ukraine is getting slaughtered. Trump says he wants to stop the death. Sending more weapons is just going to extend the death. Sending more money is just going to extend the death. But maybe this is where this deal with the EU comes into play. And here's just some of the details. There's no doubt this is a great deal. I mean, there's no doubt if you look at this deal as a standalone, you nod your head, you tip your cap, and you say President Trump's done it again. But nothing is standalone like this in politics, and even more so in geopolitics. So here's just some of the highlights. The EU now gets charged 15% tariffs on its exports to the United States when they commit to charging zero tariffs on U.S. imports in the EU. So that's like totally one-sided. You think, well, how did he pull that off? The EU agrees to invest $600 billion in the United States. They're just going to do it. The EU will purchase hundreds of billions of dollars of American military equipment. Well, it's kind of like the deal we have with Israel. You send them money, they buy our equipment. The EU commits to buying $750 billion worth of very expensive U.S. LNG, specifically $250 billion for each of the next 3 years. So these are just some of the deals that are in there. Now, let me just say this from Colonel Douglas McGregor. He puts it one way, and then I'll kind of paraphrase it my own. This agreement explains why Trump's hostility to Russia is increasing. In reality, Trump's unchanged confrontation with Russia over Ukraine is the price Washington eagerly pays for European capitulation to Trump's trade demands. Washington's confrontation with Moscow strengthens the global elite and their grip on Europe's governments and reinforces the lie that Russia threatens Europe. Unfortunately, this arrangement puts Washington on a collision course with Moscow, for which the U.S. armed forces are not prepared. Now, in other words, how did Trump get such a sweetheart deal in Europe? Well, he got the deal because they're going to get what they want out of us to fight Russia. That's the simple translation of what Colonel Douglas McGregor is saying. So I would say that means that the United States, and this is why the NATO thing is so frustrating. So Trump basically told them, it's like, you cut this deal with us, we'll keep letting you essentially steal our money with NATO. So we'll keep paying more than everybody else with NATO, but you're going to make this deal. Trump knows we got hosed on $350 billion in aid for Ukraine. We're not going to get it back. And so Trump tells the NATO countries that are the ones that should be defending Ukraine, even though it's not a NATO country, he says, hey, we got hosed on this deal. So if you want us to keep supporting this, if you want us to keep supporting NATO, if you want us to be with you in a fight for Russia, you're going to cut this deal for us. Now, of course, they're not going to put that in the fine print. You're just going to see this great deal. It's going to look like Trump is a genius. But on the back end, when it comes time, now this just means that the United States is going to continue to back Ukraine. Financially, militarily, they'll continue to pay. NATO or the European countries gave $100 billion in aid to Ukraine. We gave $350. So it just means it's going to keep going. That's what that means. So yeah, Trump got a great deal. Hopefully we'll see a quick benefit of this. When it comes to car prices, when it comes to energy, we'll see, but I could see that happening relatively fast. But then it also means in due time, when that phone rings for more support for Ukraine, Trump's going to have to say yes. So we're not pulling out of that. We're not ending that day one. We're not stopping the aid. We're not stopping the funding. Unless Trump just crosses them and just says, yeah, I didn't mean it. Sorry. Thanks for the deal, though. But I don't see that being the case. So I think McGregor is right in his approach to this. But to put it simply, how did Trump get such a great deal with the EU? He told them he'd keep defending Ukraine. Told them he'd keep financing NATO and the war in Ukraine. That's the deal. So Colonel Douglas McGregor agrees, and I think it's pretty obvious because, yeah, you look at the deal and you say, this is the greatest deal of all time. How did Trump pull it off? Well, there is a how. It's not just Trump magic. There's a how. Now, the president did secure with his envoy in Asia a ceasefire deal. Cambodia and Thailand thanked Trump for brokering ceasefire between them both after border battle. So he can stick a feather in his cap there. Malaysian Prime Minister Anwar Ibrahim hosted a high-level meeting with Cambodian Prime Minister Hun Manet and Thailand's acting Prime Minister Phuntham Wechayachai. We'll go with that. Which led to the truce. The warring nations leaders affirmed their country's commitment to a peaceful resolution at a joint press conference with Anwar. The three nations leaders said they were grateful to President Trump and the Chinese government for their roles in facilitating the peace agreement. So that's success. So there you go. Some countries are figuring out how to get a peace deal done. So you got to like that. All right, now I still have some geopolitical. Actually, you know what? No, I think I've covered all the geopolitical here. Look at my video list. Yeah, I think so. Okay, so we do have some other political developments that we're going to get to. And then, I don't know, I try to avoid the race stuff as much as possible, but this deal in Cincinnati over the weekend has actually had a breaking news in this last hour. So I might just have to bring that to you. But it's just like, you know, you can ignore something as much as you want. That doesn't make it go away. You can ask yourself, does covering it even help? And then if the answer is no, then do you even bother? It's just, you know, the pain of it. Well, I'll explain with this breaking news why this is such a unfortunate thing to witness. But there was a development here, so we'll cover that coming up. And get to the rest of the news. And we'll probably have some time for phone calls today as well. So we'll get to all of that as we close out the second hour. Folks, remember, brand new fun item. You know, I could get really strange here. You know, I've got the limited edition Alex Jones dagger. And then I've got the limited edition Alex Jones stress ball. I'm not going to do it, though. I'm not going to do it. But if you're a leftist out there, maybe we need to put a package deal out there for Alex Jones hating leftists or Alex Jones hating rightists on the right too, I suppose. What if we gave you the Alex Jones dagger and the Alex Jones stress ball head? I don't think I need to tell you where the imagination might go for these creeps. I'm just saying. Maybe it's a package deal for leftists. The Alex Jones haters special. Get a dagger and an Alex Jones head, and then do whatever you want with it. Film it if you want. I'm just saying. I'm just trying to find a way that everybody can have fun with this new Alex Jones stress ball head. Limited edition, thealexjonesstore.com. I think it's going to be a limited run. I think once they sell this out, Alex is going to want to make a new one where he's got the bald head and the goatee. This is a younger Alex Jones, or supposedly a younger Alex Jones, I suppose. So this just could be a limited run. Once this deal is gone, I think that might be it. I think we might be introducing a new one. And, of course, don't forget about the limited edition dagger as well. Still available while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com. You get a discount on these products and others when you're a VIP member. The only way to become a member is at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. Benefits include but not limited to monthly membership credits, free shipping on all orders over $99, and so much more. Become a member at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. And we really appreciate those VIP members. It's that sustained membership that budgets us into the future.
Ladies and gentlemen, every guest we've had in studio that we've given ultramethylene blue or super medical grade to, within 30 minutes has felt enlightenment, energy, clarity, like a fog lifts. Their stamina, their libido, their workouts are better. Long term, it just gets better and better. We have the best in capsules and liquid at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you will just research, look up methylene blue and eyesight, methylene blue and Alzheimer's, methylene blue and cardiovascular health, methylene blue and energy, methylene blue and memory. Not even looking today, I ran into this. Is methylene blue the secret weapon for fighting Alzheimer's and keeping your brain young? And they got Dr. Peter McCullough, very respected, with all these other scientists saying, oh, yes, it's incredible. Yeah, it is. So we have Labor Day weekend sale, continues through tomorrow, so let's listen, 48 hours. All the customers get an additional, there's already discounts, 25% off on all supplements on the site. You only have till tomorrow night at midnight central. Yesterday's top five sellers, methylene blue, methylene blue caps, Life Force, the spike protein cardiovascular detox, colostrum, we have the very best concentrated bovine colostrum, ultramethylene blue, Shilajit caps, all sorts of great deals at thealexjonesstore.com. Even if they shut this place down, they don't get thealexjonesstore.com. They don't get the Alex Jones Network. I don't own it. I don't own the equipment. I don't own the shopping cart. And so they can piss up a rope. They can harass me all day, appoint state receivers to come get money I don't have. I don't care, because I have a great family and great crew and great audience of activists. And I've never been a high roller, and just I'm happier than a pig, and you know what. So thank you so much for your support. TheAlexShowStore.com.
The beacon of truth in a world of deceit. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
As Zero Hedge reported, in a sophisticated cyber attack, Chinese-linked hackers exploited a zero-day vulnerability in Microsoft SharePoint to breach the U.S. National Nuclear Security Administration, the agency responsible for maintaining the nation's nuclear weapons stockpile. The attack affected over 50 organizations globally, including government agencies and energy companies. Microsoft identified two Chinese state-sponsored groups, Linen Typhoon and Violet Typhoon, along with another China-based group, Storm 2603, as the perpetrators. Meanwhile, Bill Gates, BlackRock, and Nestle are quietly consolidating control over essential water resources. Bill Gates' extensive acquisition of farmland, including areas with significant aquifers, opens the door for a strategic move to control water access, raising questions about the motives behind such investments beyond mere agricultural productivity.
Over 2.5 billion people have no access to safe sanitation. We asked brilliant engineers to help us solve this problem. And one of those engineers actually has proposed a solution where the waste is valuable.
Chinese investors are gobbling up America's heartland, and the alarm bells are finally ringing. As of 2023, the USDA reports a staggering 383,935 acres of U.S. soil in the hands of Chinese entities, farmlands, forests, key spy locations.
Hey, I'm at the Nashua Airport, and just want to show you, here's a long runway. And across street is Daniel Webster College, right here. There are some buildings rented out and purchased by Chinese nationals 2018. And combined with that, the water bottle plant that the richest man from China bought it in Nashua. So all both locations are within 100 miles radius to join base in Cape Cod. This is listed as a military installation and joint base supposed to be reviewed by the federal government.
Texas is hit hardest with 123,708 acres, followed by North Carolina, Missouri, Utah, and Florida. The WH Group, a Chinese conglomerate, owns nearly 90,000 acres through Smithfield Foods, sprawling across 10 states. But it gets worse. The Fufeng Group's shady 370-acre grab near North Dakota's Grand Forks Air Force Base and a Chinese billionaire's 100,000-acre Texas wind farm scheme were fortunately stopped cold by state law, revealing a full-blown national security threat.
The Chinese group called Fufeng purchased 300 acres to build a corn mill factory within 10 miles of this Air Force Base. And that land in North Dakota is flat. So basically, if you sit on a tower, you can see what's going on at the base. But even more ominously, you can have equipment on the land listening to the communications. And this particular Air Force base is a hub for worldwide communications in the Air Force and also is a worldwide facility for the drones. If the Americans can't buy land in China, then the Chinese should not be able to buy land in America.
The sleeping giant has been slowly waking up. And now in July of 2025, President Trump's National Farm Security Action Plan dropped a bombshell, banned Chinese and other hostile nations from buying our farmland and claw back what they've already got.
Another one of President Trump's greatest accomplishments was the groundbreaking United States-Mexico-Canada trade agreement that replaced NAFTA. improved supply chain resiliency, and put America's farmers first. It has been reported that the USMCA trade deal led to $2 billion in annual increases for the U.S. in agricultural
All right,
exports.
Can find the rest of that John Bound report at band.video. Trump boots China out of U.S. farms. Big story there.
It's almost poetic, the products that we sell, because yes, they are the best. Yes, it is the best price for the highest quality. Yes, they are third-party tested. It's almost poetic because as we advocate for humanity, what we sell to you is that which makes you or allows you to make yourself a better version of yourself. Whether it's getting the methylene blue, which helps you with focus and energy and mental clarity, or ultimate life force, which makes your body healthier in so many ways I don't have the time to explain to you. Whether it's the Shilajit that gives you incredible vitality, or the ultimate burn, which ensures that your metabolism is optimal, or the optimal human, which is everything the body needs. You see, we're fighting for your mind, your body, and your soul, not just with the products that we sell, but with the message of this network. We have to have the truth. We have to have freedom of speech. We have to have our rights, because, folks, we're about ready to go into an artificial intelligence war, into a space war, the likes of which humanity couldn't even dream of, even in science fiction. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, not just for your mind and your body, but for your species.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Yeah, well, maybe Powell will lower interest rates. Be nice. Problem is, they're so damn high, it's like you'd have to lower them so dramatically, it'd become an issue. But that is what is needed. All right. You know, I was actually thinking about this, the housing market. It's like, how do we solve this problem? You can't solve it without somebody losing. That's the reality. Somebody's going to lose. Whether it's the banks, whether it's the homeowners, whether it's the home buyers, somebody loses in this equation. But imagine if you had a situation where you now say, okay, it's like, find a way to get the banks out of the process. Find a way where the interest rates don't even impact the market to such a high degree. What if all of a sudden you had to buy houses and you had to be able to pay in them in full? And if you weren't going to pay in full, the only way you could get a new deal would be to have to deal with the homeowner directly. And the homeowner has to be the actual owner, not a bank, not a real estate company, not one of these giant companies like BlackRock or Vanguard, but the actual homeowner, the individual. Because that's what's happened. The price of housing is not even controlled by the sellers or the buyers. It's all controlled by the banks. It's all controlled by the real estate people. So most people, what do you think? I don't know the number. It's got to be more than 50%. The majority of people that purchase a home don't actually have the money. They're just trying to get somewhere within a monthly mortgage rate that they can afford. But you buy a house, $500,000, you're really paying $800,000 at the end of the day. So it's like, how do you fix that? Okay, you can only purchase a home if you have the actual cash to buy it. Well, the housing market would drop down probably less than half. Because I remember we crunched these numbers before on the show. The average down payment on a house is less than 20%. So that's the real affordability. So it's like the average home in America was like $450,000. The average down payment was like $20,000. And then you crunch that's the real market right there. Like, that's the actual real world value. But you get the banks involved. You get the lenders involved. You get the real estate agents involved and everything else. And then now you got 450, even though most people can only afford like 170. So, I don't know. That's a tough one, but it's bad. And then you end up paying your whole life interest. Just interest, 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 interest. Just so you can own a home, quote unquote, own. Just so you can own the home. All right. So this was breaking, and we got a little bit of the press conference here. Let me just give you the news and then try to wade into this. Five charged in horrifying viral Cincinnati brawl that left a woman knocked out cold. And they're anticipating there will be more after this fight late in Cincinnati. But we just had the police in Cincinnati deliver a brief press conference. So we've got about 2.5 minutes of this, guys. Let's hear after these charges drop from the local police.
At this time, we have victims and suspects identified, and we have charged 5 people in this offense. I'm not going to release that information to you. I will say, if individuals were down there and participated in this event, it would be in their best interest to come turn themselves in at one of our police districts. We have 5 we have charged and anticipate more. Let me be clear. Anyone who put their hands on another individual during this incident in an attempt to cause harm will face consequences. I don't care which side of the incident or the fight they were on. If they place their hands on somebody in an attempt to cause harm, that is unacceptable. This is still an open investigation, and all potential charges are being investigated for everyone involved. All investigative tools and techniques are on the table, including, were some of these individuals overserved at some local establishments? It is clear to us that alcohol played a part, a significant part, in this incident. I want to thank every citizen who has come forward and provided us with information. Some of those tips have led to the charges being signed. However, for us to have 100 or so people down there involved in and or watching this event, recording with their cell phones, and for us to get only 1 phone call of this incident is unacceptable in this city. 1 person did the right thing and called 911.
All right. Now, there's some interesting stuff to unpack there. So, again, 5 have been charged. They say they're looking to find more charges, arrest more people. You hear this angle of overserved. I mean, I guess you got to cover all your bases. Let's not turn this into some deal where a bar is afraid to give you, you know, a second or third shot because you might leave and get in a fight and they might get charged. So let's not do that. All right. Let's, you know, a bartender can decide whether you're overserved or not. Let's not get police involved every time there's a fight at a bar, which is very often. Okay. Now, it's like, how do you get into this stuff without making it worse? That's the ultimate challenge. There's very rarely, if ever, and this is why I just don't like to talk about it, never posted about it. It's rarely, if ever, will I do a segment on a race issue and come out of that like, that was well done, it was well communicated, that can be effective as a means of communication. It's very rare, if ever. Usually it's like, you know what, I don't even want to talk about the race stuff. And mostly the reason is because not only do I know, it's not that it's like, yeah, I don't think it helps. It might make things worse, but you don't want to fall into this trap of overrepresenting something. Like, I'll go to the gym later tonight and I'll play basketball
and there'll be everybody playing from every background, skin color, you name it. And there's no race problems. None. That's my experience. That's my experience, whether I'm going to play basketball or whether I'm going to a ball game or a bar or a concert. That's like 98% of the time that'll be the experience. Now, that other 2%, you might see some racism, some racial incidents. Let's be honest. We've all probably seen it once or twice. But it's a very small case. But do you look at that small case and say, wow, this is still really important, so we need to make a big case of this? Or do you look at the small case and say, it is what it is. It's not going to be 98, 99% of the time your experience, so let's just not make it worse than it already is, which is kind of the direction it's going. But I see this video. That's shocking. She says only one phone call. I mean, I've seen plenty of bar fights, and I'm not a guy that looks for bar fights. You know, when you go out a bunch in your 20s and you got dumbass friends, every once in a while you end up in a scrap that you don't want to be in. But it's just like, okay, is it just another bar fight? No, this was not just another bar fight. And I think the issue when you watch this, because I could go right now and I could probably find videos from 5, 6 different bar fights this weekend. There's fights on Austin every night, virtually. They got a whole X account committed to 6 street fights because there's fights all the time. So it's like, there's bar fights all the time. So how do you, like, is it really a race thing? Well, they watch the video and what do they see? They clearly see a bunch of black people beating up on a couple white guys. Now, you sit here and you just analyze and you say, okay, well, why is this happening? Well, some people say, oh, the white guy started it. Well, okay, maybe the white guy started it. So does he deserve this? Because what you end up seeing is, as the woman said, what you end up seeing is a bunch of people just ganging up on this guy. So am I supposed to believe that every single person that was there that also happened to be black was involved in this fight directly? Or were those other people that were standing around that hated this guy because he was white or hate white people, and they just said, oh, it's a free-for-all now. We all get our shots on the white guy. That's what it looks like in the video. Some dumbass white guy. And I mean, again, because we've all probably experienced something like this. You've got these older white guys that have no filter. You've got older white guys that grew up in a different world. And really think that they're still in this other world where they can talk a big game and maybe they used to win bar fights and they don't understand. You talk to one wrong guy and he's all of a sudden got 50 friends that want to literally drag you into the streets and stomp your head into the ground. And if your wife steps in, she's getting knocked out cold too. So I get it. I've seen it all, folks. I get it. Here's probably an older white guy. Maybe he was tough in his day. Maybe he thinks he can take a guy one on one. He doesn't realize you're in a pit of people that want to beat you now. So he starts it with one guy and then everyone else around him says, oh, that's the green light. We all now get to beat this old white fool. And that's exactly what happened. So he might have started it. He might have started it with one guy, maybe two guys. It might have been a couple guys, but oh, a bunch of these young black guys just said, oh, here's old whitey. Here's old dumb white fool. And it was game on. So that's the problem. This wasn't just a normal bar fight where a couple guys swing it out. No, these guys were clearly targeted because they were white. And whatever the original issue was, which they might have started, by the time they were drug out into the streets and getting kicked and stomped on and drug around and their wives knocked out, it was a race thing. So that's what it is. So you got these older generational white guys that still think they're tough and they can go around, do whatever they want. And they don't realize you're in an area right now of people that probably don't like you very much. And as soon as you took that first swing, that was the green light. Everybody gets to drag you into the street and beat you unconscious. And it's such a state of mind that they can't even hold their punch when they see a woman step in front of them. So no, this is not a bar fight. This is probably going to be identified as a hate crime. And I wouldn't be surprised if these people get charged with hate crime charges for this as well. Cause did this guy really go and start a fight with
20, 30 black men that are dragging him into the street and stomping on his head and beating him when he's down? Or did they just see him start a fight with a couple other guys that happened to be black, and he took the first swing, and so then it was game on? But that's what I'm saying. Like, when you start seeing guys just coming out of nowhere, because I've seen it. People that weren't involved in the fight, weren't involved in the altercation, just saw noise, saw an altercation, and ran over and decided it's time to start swinging. And when it's an easy identifiable thing, like, oh, it's the white guy, then it's just, yeah, just go after him. It's easy to identify. Free shot. Kick him in the head. Punch him in the back. And so, and it's just, oh, it's such a green light now, I'm going to hit the woman now too. So we've all seen it. And so you could find videos, a bunch of white guys beating a black guy or other situations. If you want to get into the statistics, though, obviously the statistics will only point one direction. So, oh, it's because they got overserved. Well, no. You know, I've got all of these stories. These are from actual government documents. Corey DeAngelis published these over the weekend. Actually, I think it was before the fight even happened. This is on the 25th. The National Education Association Handbook says educators must acknowledge the existence of white supremacy culture as a primary root cause of institutional racism, structural racism, and white privilege. Educators must also work to prohibit institutionally racist systems. So you have all this stuff. I can go on. It pushes strategies fostering the eradication of institutional racism and white privilege perpetuated by white supremacy culture. School districts must provide training in cultural competence, implicit bias, restorative practices and techniques, and racial justice. Calls for educational reparations. The National Education Association believes that in order to achieve racial and social justice for descendants of formerly enslaved peoples, educational reparations must be made. And it goes on and on and on. By the way, they make sure everybody knows about Holocaust Remembrance Day. They also put that in there. Just a little fun one. So you have a whole system that tells you white people are bad, white people are racist, everything is racist, everything's against you. So they build this angst, they build this hatred, they build this divide. And then you have a bunch of people out on the streets, probably drunk, feeling very tribal. They see one white guy gets hit and they say, this is it. This is the racist white man. It's time for me to go in and get my licks. Time for me to go in and get my hits. Cause that's what I'm due that for the systemic white racism, for the systemic white privilege, for the oppression of my people. I'm due. That white guy right there took a swing. I'm due. I get to go crack his head. I get to go crack his wife. I get to go kick him. And we all feel, you can't help it. It's natural. You look in the mirror, you see what you are. You see your skin color. It's just a fact. So there's always going to be, even at the most minute levels, some tribal instinct to this. And maybe it's worse in different race groups than others, but it's all, you can't avoid it. You are what you are. You will always know that. You're not going to be like, what's the guy's name in the Chappelle, Clarence Bigsby or whatever, the black member of the KKK? Clayton Bigsby? No, you know who you are. You look in the mirror, you know, I'm white, I'm black, I'm Mexican, I'm whatever. So you're always, even at the most tiny scales, you're always going to have that tribalism. But what do you do if you're law enforcement and you see this? What are you going to do? Are you going to make the charges greater because it was, 30 black guys beating up on a white guy? Are you just going to treat this as just a normal bar fight and just go after anybody that committed a crime? Because you can't even really have the conversation. What conversation are you going to have now? We need to talk about racism in America. Oh, because we haven't been doing that. We haven't been talking about racism in America enough, right? That's not been a conversation. Or maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the problem is we're sitting here talking about racism all day long. People like Ben Crump. Can't wait to jump on a crime and blame white people. And it's like, I don't care. You want to go off and have an all-black community? Fine. You want to go off and have an all-white community? Fine. I don't care. You want to go off and have it? It's just, do it. Whatever. But Ben Crump was celebrating when there was going to be an all-black community. Wayne Swanson and 19 other black families purchased more than 500 acres of farmland in Georgia to invest in their Freedom Georgia initiative. The black-owned initiative and many others will greatly benefit from the Farmer Relief Program. So when we can get stuff that's just for black people, it's great. But then he complains because of this white group starting a white community in Missouri. So, I mean, it just shows how it goes one way. So how do you even have this conversation? Because let's, I mean, here's, I think that this is the problem. We all see that. And you know what? You can probably take measurements to make sure that that's never you. Like, probably just don't go to the bar and get drunk. If you are going to go to the bar and get drunk, probably don't start crap. Don't pick a fight. But once you've made those two decisions, you know, good luck. So am I blaming the guy for what happened to him? No, but at the same time, you made decisions. So it's like, you know what? I don't feel like going out and getting drunk and getting in a fight. So I'm not going to go to Dirty Sixth Street. I'm not going to go out to Dirty Sixth Street in Austin and get too drunk and start talking crap on the streets and then end up getting my head kicked into the pavement. You know, just a decision I'm not going to make. Because I've seen it. I know how it can go like that. Doesn't take long. Doesn't take long for two people that are too drunk to start talking and then start swinging and then nobody knows what happens next. But I think the problem is we all watch this and just at the surface level, it looks like one thing, which it might be, it might not be. And we just sit here and we say, okay, well, this looks really bad. What do we do to make sure this never happens again? There's nothing except making smarter decisions. So if you don't want to go out and get jumped by a group of 20 black guys and girls, don't go out and start a fight. Don't go out and get drunk and start a fight with a bunch of black guys. So pretty simple. It's like if you're a black guy and you go to some white biker bar with a bunch of skinheads and you trash one of their bikes and then you go out and say, oh, I'm going to fight you all. It's like, oh, if you don't want to get jumped by a bunch of white skinheads at a biker bar. But you do, aside from the racial angle, which we're all sick of anyway, there is. I think the reason we're so disturbed is it's not just the fight. People see fights all the time. Guys get beaten badly all the time. It's like the celebration of it. It's like you can hear people like celebrating it every time he gets kicked on the ground, every time that his head gets stomped onto the ground, every time he's already out and somebody comes and punches him and clocks him again out of nowhere just because they want to. All the people recording it, nobody calling the cops. I think that that's where we watch something like this and we say something is seriously disturbed here. This is not just a fight. If it was just some guys fighting and throwing haymakers, that's one thing. Just a couple guys fighting, guys getting knocked out, that's one thing. Bar fights happen. Fights happen. No, this was a bunch of people targeting a couple people and everybody else around them celebrating it, recording it, cheering it on, and happy that it was happening. That's why this video was so disturbing. So, I'll make a bet though. Won't be the last time. Will not be the last time. So just make sure it's not you.
We have the Labor Day mega sale, 25% off on top of all the other discounts that are already there on the widest selection of Patriot apparel, on collectible, tactical, super high quality knives that are about to sell out. Collectible silver coins, you name it, but more importantly, the supplements. Labor Day sale continues through Monday. Customers get an additional 25% off on all supplements on the site. That's the Ultramethylene Blue, Liquid and Caps, the Life Force, Great for your cardiovascular system and spike detox. The best out there. Everybody should take it whether you have the COVID shot or not, because this stuff sheds. Colostrum is the best bovine colostrum. Mammals for the first few weeks after a baby's born produce something that's special. It's clear. It's less milky than milk. It's a lot clearer, but it's kind of like hazy water. It's full of all of these super charged things that just do incredible things for the whole body. Fortifying the immune system, super nutrients. Your mother produces colostrum, but this is bovine colostrum, 2,000 milligrams per serving. It is incredible. It's all the rage. We put a survey out 11 months ago. What do you want most? I'm like, we want bovine colostrum. We got you the best private label. That's their discount as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. So you want to get Life Force. You want to get the colostrum. You want to get Methylene Blue. You've heard the rave reviews. You are insane if you don't try our Methylene Blue. But be careful. Talk to your physician first. You can have some interactions with certain drugs like SSRIs. And then take a small amount at first. Because 99% of people feel incredible levels of energy. Just incredible levels of energy. And then the long-term effects are even better. And then medically look into why RFK Jr. pushes it. It does so much for your body. So much for everything. We have the best at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank everybody that are VIP members. But just like if you're an Amazon person, everybody, almost everybody, is a Prime member. Because the immediate benefits you get, $30 a month, cancel anytime, in your profile, free. Bloop, you know, and you get $40 to spend in the store. So you're going to buy anything, become a VIP. And when you get the product, you're going to love it. You'll still be a VIP then. But let's say you didn't like it. And then, okay, you go get your $40 for $30. You just made $10 extra to buy more product. And then you can cancel. But most people aren't doing it. Majority stay VIPs. So just become a VIP at checkout, additional $30. Or you just go sign up to be a VIP, get the $40, and then buy the stuff you want. And then you get special deals, special offers, special sales only for you, and discounts on top of everything. So if you're going to buy anything at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you should become a VIP. Also, some supplements sell out. They're selling out of the bovine colostrum probably tomorrow. Told them to get more. They're selling out of the Life Force. That'll be sold out in a few days. They're selling out of the Power Plant and Methyl Drive. But if you're a subscriber, they hold it back for you, and then you get a bigger discount, up to 50% off on that as well. And these are game-changing products. People ask, man, how have I in a year lost almost 70 pounds? How can I do that? It's been taking the supplements consistently, intermittent fasting, drinking more water, but all of it together, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm telling you, since I got on Methylene Blue, it has supercharged me even more the last 6 months. But I now am religiously taking all the supplements. So, TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com. But whatever you do, pray for the broadcast, pray for the crew, and keep sharing the articles and videos from Rumble, at the Alex Jones Network, and from X, for Alex Jones, and from Infowars.com/show.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Give me liberty
or give me death.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
You know, perhaps it's difficult. I don't know. It's never been a problem for me, but maybe it is difficult. I could see, call it implicit bias or personal bias. But like, you know, I see somebody talking about gay white men that are sexual predators or gay white men that adopt babies. And I guess since I'm not gay, maybe I don't feel, but even if it was just white men, like, I don't take that personally at all. People say, you know, most pedophiles in this country are white. I'm like, okay, yeah, statistical fact. Yeah, arrest them all. I want them all off the streets. Get them away from your kids. And like, there's a story, and I'm just going to say, because we'll just see what happens with this. So guys, don't put anything on the screen, but there's a guy that, white guy who is a known sexual predator for children and just adopted a baby boy. And it's him and his white husband, I guess, because you can use a marriage loophole even if you're a sex predator and you can adopt a boy. And I'm just sitting here like, this is disgusting. It's like, what is more disgusting to me? A group of black men beating up some white guy that might have talked trash or was in a bar fight, or this gay couple, one of them a known sex predator, just adopted a boy. Like, that is like, that man could have avoided that street fight. That baby can't do anything. Or even this weekend. I was born, raised in the Catholic Church. I'm a confirmed Catholic. I've been through all the different Catholic rituals. Episode of South Park comes on, making fun of Catholics the whole time. It's hilarious. It's hilarious to me. So I don't know what it is. It's like hard to have these conversations. It's like, yeah, a bunch of Catholic priests raping kids. Like, yep, that's a problem. Yep. But I don't know. The whole racial construct and conversation is just so bastardized now. It's like even having it. But see, oh, it gets the headlines. It's like I was debating even covering it. Maybe I shouldn't have did a whole segment on it. But it's like, oh, now everybody's watching the videos. And what do you think that's going to do for race relations? It's just like 98% of the time you go out there, nobody's thinking about race. Nobody cares. Nobody's going to bother you whether you're black or white. Everybody just wants to just live. And there's always something to try to bring us all back down to that level. Bring us all back down to that tribal level. So, just your latest. All right, meanwhile, speaking of, I guess you could call it tribal in a different way. So, this whole American Eagle Sidney Sweeney ad is angering all the right people. And there's even more videos coming out like this. So you have these liberals, these leftists, they're all complaining about Sidney Sweeney being the American Eagle model. And it's because of the play on words with the jeans. But it's funny, and I hope that this happens, and I'm going to play an example of this. American Eagle should double down. They should double down. And I'd come out with a second Sidney Sweeney ad. And just have it really simple like this one, just like in an empty room or something. And she can just do like a fake apology thing. Be like, you know, people are complaining about my great genes. And some people are saying that my great genes are actually not that great. So we at American Eagle have been thinking about the great genes. And we actually have a new statement to make. Not only are these genes great, these are the best genes ever, and there will never be any better genes. And then just, oh, yeah, that's what I would do. You will market cap 500 million in 24 hours, website traffic up 500%. You'll sell out of jeans. Just triple down on it. Trust me, bet against liberals like this in clip 8. Let's try it again with audio. Ah, no, do we not have it?
But blue-eyed white.
Hold up,
woman.
Here we go. We're gonna do it. We're gonna get it right. We're gonna get it right. We're gonna do it with the audio. We just completely butchered my pitch. It's like imagine a pitcher falling off the mound mid-pitch. It's really embarrassing for me. But let's go ahead. Let's try it again.
Should we be surprised that a company whose name is literally American Eagle is making fascist propaganda like this? Probably not, but it's still really shocking. Like a blonde-haired, blue-eyed white woman is talking about her good genes. Like, that is Nazi propaganda.
Now look. Look. I assume this fat blob of a woman that probably couldn't fit in jeans anyway. I'm assuming that she knows the play on words. I'm assuming that. I guess I don't know. Maybe she doesn't understand the play on words with jeans. Like she's selling jeans, a jean jacket, and jeans. Maybe she missed that part. I don't know. She might be that dumb, but I don't think she's that dumb. But look, honestly, and I'll ask the crew here, when you saw this commercial talk about good jeans, did anyone think about Nazis? Was anybody sitting here thinking, okay, exactly. So we're all on the same page. I did not see that ad, and I didn't think to myself, wow, this is Aryan propaganda. This is about blonde-haired, blue-eyed supremacy. Thank you, American Eagle. I'm going to go out and buy some jeans. None of that went through my head, and I didn't buy any jeans. What went through my head was, here's a hot blonde that is very well put together, universally attractive, so she has good jeans. And it's a play on words because she's wearing jeans and trying to sell you jeans. I never once thought about skin color, eye color, hair color. You could have just as easily put some Latina bombshell, black bombshell, whatever. You could have easily run the same thing, but Sydney Sweeney is the it girl right now, so she's what you get. Nobody thought of that. The only person that thought about was the left. The only person that sat there and somehow Nazi comes into their head was liberals. Most people just saw a hot blonde selling jeans. But liberals, everything is a Nazi. Sydney Sweeney is a Nazi selling you Nazi propaganda. And they want the Nazi skinheads with the swastika tattoos to go out and buy the jeans. So that's insane to me. But that's what they thought. So if I'm American Eagle, I'm doubling down. I'm dead serious. I'm bringing Sydney Sweeney. I'm doing a fake apology video. I'd even put some of them in the video. I'd put them in the video and I'd say, oh, well, we at American Eagle understand that we have offended some people with our great genes. But the truth is we have the best genes, and then just like leave it right on her face. Well, or a little lower if you catch my drift. Just double down on it. Screw these liberals. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, they said it was $300 billion market cap moved after that ad in the markets. And you can watch American Eagle went right up and then kind of came back down. It'll be $500 million this time. You'll double your stock price. It's like $11. It'll go to 20 plus. It'll be the biggest ad. Nobody plays these games in the marketing world as much anymore. It used to be fun. You used to do this stuff in the marketing world and it worked. And as long as you developed numbers, as long as you got sales, nobody really cared how offensive you were. You can be as offensive as you want. More offensive, the better. Just as long as you deliver sales. I would double down. I'd say we were wrong. Everybody has great genes, but actually we have the best genes. And just really send them for another wave. It's going back up. See that? I'm telling you, folks, as soon as that ad hit, same thing happened to, what's that men's hygiene company, Sasquatch or something that she did one for? Same thing happened with that. So see, smart people in the marketing world are just like, well, what is working? Sydney Sweeney's breasts are working. Okay. Put them in jeans. All right. Put them with a men's soap. All right. Put them with this. That's just marketing 101. Double down on it. Say, we're sorry for saying we have great genes. Everybody has great genes, but we have the best genes. And you'll just do double. You'll do double what you did in the first one. So that's what I would do. We'll see if they have the, same mindset there, but that's an obvious one. By the way, wasn't it just a remake of, Who was it that did the original? Was it Faith Hill or Shania Twain or something? They did that ad in the 90s. I forget who it was. It was some it girl from the 90s. They did virtually the exact same ad. So they just remade an old ad. And notice, nobody complained when the first ad came out. Nobody was like, this is a white supremacy ad. They're selling jeans to Nazis. Nobody thought about that. They thought, oh, they're using a hot chick to sell merchandise. But now in 2025, whoa, now it's Nazis. Now you're promoting fascism. Mm-hmm. Very fascist. You know, I think maybe this little girl here is jealous. Who was it, guys? Is that Shania Twain? Who is that? It was Shania Twain? No, but I think there was an American Eagle one that was like, well, the point is it's been done before and it worked. So it was done again. The only difference is now liberals just see Nazis and everything. The best genes. I do. Take it one step further. Everyone's got great genes.
but we have the best genes. All right. You know, speaking of the AI and the robots, did you guys see this over the weekend? Two robots. These are the G1 robots that you've kind of been seeing a lot more of lately that are starting to hit the streets in China. I think it was the one that they had the gay bot that was running around. They're doing boxing matches now. They're not too good. They didn't hit many of their punches. But this is where it's all going. So you might need to train for robot fighting now. I do think you could probably still take one of these, though. I do think these things are still probably not coordinated enough, but just wait. Just wait 5 years. These things will be like Floyd Mayweather met Mike Tyson met Brock Lesnar. And then you take one of those Spartan kicks, you're probably actually going through a wall. But where they are now, they're still kind of struggling in their development phase. Now, that's kind of fun. Robot boxing. Would you watch robot fighting? What was that TV show? I think they brought it back. Battle Bots. They build these bots on wheels and stuff. They like try to blow each other up. They have like chainsaws. That was pretty fun. I would actually support this, but I would like to see a chainsaw or like a flamethrower. I don't want them just throwing fists. Like get out some weapons, you know? Get out a buzzsaw, get out a flamethrower, maybe a tiny explosive device, but you know, let's shake it up a little bit here. Let's really shake it up. Let's give the people what they really want. Maybe attach an Alex Jones dagger to each arm. You think we could do that? I think that would be one way. Just have them out there stabbing each other with the Alex Jones dagger. Alex Jones daggers for fingers. Yeah, there's the show. So that's what I want. Make one of those that walks around. Yeah. Yeah, let's really make things interesting. Let's make it for money, too. Throw some weapons into that deal. So if you are out there building the next battle bot and you would like to throw an Alex Jones dagger on there, I know you're going to get good press for that. Maybe some bad press, too. It'll mostly be good. You can only get it at the alexjonesstore.com. Maybe we'll have our own battle bot. We'll put the Alex Jones daggers and special knives, limited edition knives, high quality knives that we have at the alexjonesstore.com. We'll put them all over it. Be like covered in it. Like a porcupine, except with 100 daggers. That'd be tough to beat, actually. Now that I think of it, that could be the winner right there. You can get yours while supplies last at the alexjonesstore.com. Remember, we just brought this one out. The Alex Jones stress relief squeezy ball. What do they call these things? Stress relief balls? Stress ball? We've got the Alex Jones head stress ball now. Who comes up with this stuff? I don't know, but they're brilliant. The only thing hotter than the Alex Jones stress ball is Sydney Sweeney in jeans. That's the only thing hotter right now than this stress ball. And I mean, once this sells out, I think it's going to be a one and done, and I think Alex wants to bring it back with him bald and a goatee. So this is probably going to be a one and done on this stress ball. So get it while supplies last. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Of course, it's your support there that keep us on the air. So whether it's the great supplements, whether it's all the limited edition items, the silver coins, the daggers, this stress ball, it's your support there that keeps us on the air. And we appreciate that. All right. Let me get some of these other things. George Floyd, we tried to play this last week. It didn't work. We had a tech issue. Let's play it now. This is the craziness of AI. And it'll be pretty soon where people are really trying to deceive. Like, it'll be beyond just the bots. And some people are running scams with it, too. But, I mean, AI scams are about to get totally out of control. But here's an example. How many people would actually think this is really George Floyd in clip 3?
A few years ago, I couldn't breathe. But then I started taking this, Comply. Now I breathe just fine.
Side effects of Comply may include dizziness, obedience, improved breathing during police encounters, and sudden respect for authority.
Do not resist while taking Comply. Ask your officer if Comply is right for you.
All right. Comply from George Floyd. If only. I'm not sure the left would have actually liked George so much, though. He was anti-trans. Might have even been a Trump supporter. We just don't know. All right. You know, I've got some other craziness here. I do have some serious news. So let me get to the serious, and then we'll hit the craziness if we can. Well, Thomas Massie was right. He called this one. Speaker Johnson and Senator Thune are moving to block Trump from making any recess appointments by adjourning Congress every 4 to 5 days. So Massie said that exact thing last week, and now he's been proven right. So, you know, people give Thomas Massie a hard time, but you can't deny that every prediction he's made about Congress has come true. When it comes to predicting this last week, when it comes to waiting right until the holidays to push a vote on continued resolutions, everything this guy predicts is going to happen in Congress has come true. But that's just, you know, when things are that corrupt, it's easy to predict what's going to happen because you just go with what the most corrupt thing is, and then they do it. U.S. Department of Justice lawsuit accusing Illinois of violating National Voter Registration Act. Feds weigh in on lawsuit challenging how Illinois maintains voter registration rolls. So we just had the good news in California about them clearing out the rolls. It looks like they might do the same thing in Illinois now. Well, people need to go to jail for the 2020 stolen election and all the other election shenanigans that have been going on. But just from a raw political results perspective here, because you have no chance with the current system in Illinois or California to win if you're a Republican, no chance. If you clean up the voter rolls, if you put citizens only on the census to develop the numbers in the Electoral College, all of a sudden, these states could become fair play. You could have a state like California or Illinois, all of a sudden, maybe you got a shot if you're Republican. And you flip one of those states, I mean, let me just put it bluntly. If you flip Illinois or California red, the Democrats are fudged. Fudged in a national election. Fudged. So this is going to be interesting to see what happens. Because I would say the way it's going right now, the pendulum is swinging to favor the Democrats in the midterms and in the presidential. But if you get rid of all their voter fraud, all of a sudden, things start to balance out again. And then if you start to see those results, you got to wonder how many elections have been stolen in our lives? How much legitimate political power have the Democrats ever had? Ever? That's the question that follows if we start to get some of these results. Speaking of Democrat fraud, $100 million fire aid money under scrutiny. Where have the concert funds gone? $100 million in fire aid relief funds went to nonprofits instead of fire victims. California wildfire victims left wondering where $100 million went following fire aid benefit concert. Well, first of all, when you look at a lot of these big drives for charity, unfortunately, what you find out is that a very small percentage of the money raised actually goes to the front lines or goes to the intended causes. Very small amount. Once all the different organizers and middlemen and everything, once everybody is paid off, there's a very small percentage that actually ends up going towards the cause, unfortunately. So it looks like that's another case of that phenomenon. But this looks like it's a little dirtier than that. We're talking about well-connected people to Gavin Newsom, specifically his wife. But we're talking about high-level, well-connected Democrats at the tops of these wildfire charities where all the money went. And now they don't know where the money is. Including, it's being reported, $50 million went to one aid group, that was supposed to be giving the money to the fire aid relief. And on the board of that group is, yes, Gavin Newsom's wife. Yeah. And all the people are saying, where is the money? One person specifically who has a big following, his name is Spencer Pratt. I think he was on a Nickelodeon show or he might have been in some big movies. But he's got some celebrity behind him. And he lost his house in the fire. And he and his wife have been hammering this story every day. And that's kind of what's really developed this continued push to figure out what the hell's going on. $100 million raised, and the victims are saying, we haven't gotten anything. Meanwhile, the top-level Democrats in California are sitting on all the boards that got all the money. These people are just rancid, man. They're just rancid with corruption. In California, they're also trying to dim the sun. This has to be the most demonic thing. How a risky sunlight dimming experiment in California collapsed. Well, thank God. Hundreds of documents show researchers failed to notify officials in California about a test of technology to block the sun's rays while they planned a much larger sequel. The West Coast of North America is one area the Marine Cloud Brightening Program has considered for a 3,900 square foot mile solar geoengineering test. So, I mean, does it get any more demonic than blocking out the sun? That has to be, I mean, you think about just pure demonic behavior, targeting children and blocking out the sun. I mean, that's blocking out the source of life. Blocking out the source of life and light. How many different movies can you think the bad guy is trying to blot out the sun? It's like the no, it's like, yeah, what are we going a bad guy to do? Block out the sun. Perfect. Roll with it. That's what these liberals are doing. That's what these globalists are doing. Honestly, if that's not demonic, blocking out the sun, what is wrong with you? Seriously, there is something deeply disturbed with you. I don't think that's human. Dan Bongino says the work he's been doing behind the scenes at the FBI is happening. You don't know about it, but a lot is going on behind the scenes. He says we cannot run a republic like this. What he's seen has shocked him to his core. Shocked him to his core. He says we deserve the truth. Well, we'll see what comes of that. We've had a lot of talk, but no arrests of the deep state. And now it looks like the odds are Ghislaine Maxwell is going to walk before any member of the deep state even gets arrested. That's going to be bad. But that's what it's going for now. Bill Maher admits he was wrong about Trump's tariff sinking economy. Well, he just bought into the mainstream media propaganda bullcrap, but okay. Yeah, you were wrong about that. You were wrong about the vaccine, the pandemic, you know, all the other mainstream media propaganda. A couple other crazy ones over the weekend as we sign off. Serial butt sniffer arrested again for sticking schnoz in woman's backside at Nordstrom Rack. Serial butt sniffer? What is that? By the way, this stuff is on video. Apparently this guy goes around to department stores and tries to find an opportunity to, well, I think that says it, doesn't it? I think so. Well, if you're at a Chuck E. Cheese this weekend, you might have seen old Chucky getting arrested. Tallahassee police arrest Chuck E. Cheese while in uniform. For the kids, couldn't you at least have let him get out of his uniform? Think about the trauma to the kids.
Ladies and gentlemen, every guest we've had in studio that we've given ultramethylene blue or super medical grade to, within 30 minutes has felt enlightenment, energy, clarity, like a fog lifts. Their stamina, their libido, their workouts are better. Long term, it just gets better and better. We have the best in capsules and liquid at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you will just research, look up methylene blue and eyesight, methylene blue and Alzheimer's, methylene blue and cardiovascular health, methylene blue and energy, methylene blue and memory. Not even looking today, I ran into this. Is methylene blue the secret weapon for fighting Alzheimer's and keeping your brain young? And they got Dr. Peter McCullough, very respected, with all these other scientists saying, oh, yes, it's incredible. Yeah, it is. So we have Labor Day weekend sale, continues through tomorrow, so let's listen, 48 hours. All the customers get an additional, there's already discounts, 25% off on all supplements on the site. You only have tomorrow night at midnight central. Yesterday's top five sellers, methylene blue, methylene blue caps, Life Force, the spike protein cardiovascular detox, colostrum, we have the very best concentrated bovine colostrum, ultramethylene blue, Shilajit caps, all sorts of great deals at thealexjonesstore.com. Even if they shut this place down, they don't get thealexjonesstore.com. They don't get the Alex Jones Network. I don't own it. I don't own the equipment. I don't own the shopping cart. And so they can piss up a rope. They can harass me all day, appoint state receivers to come get money I don't have. I don't care because I have a great family and great crew and great audience of activists. And I've never been a high roller and just I'm happier than a pig and you know what. So thank you so much for your support. TheAlexShowStore.com.